Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, December 14, 2020. And we broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern till midnight. If you are listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anybody would like to email a question, you could send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find the banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, before we get started, we're going to first have a scripture reading. We'll pick up where we left off last week. We're in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, so we'll be picking up in chapter 19.
Chapter 19. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coasts of Judea beyond Jordan, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh? Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement, and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. His disciples say unto him, If the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. But he said unto them, All men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them, and departed thence. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do, that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first.
Okay, we're going to pick up some questions that have been sent in first, and then we'll see if Brent is here, and then we'll go into the open forum. Jen, what kind of questions do we have tonight?
Okay, I have a bunch. The first one, before a civil lawsuit begins, must the family court first notify the Department of State?
I'm sorry, ask the question. Before a civil court can begin.
Before a civil lawsuit begins, must the family court first notify the Department of State?
Well, if you're in family court, that's not a criminal court, so, I don't even know what kind of court they want to call that. They call it family court, I guess. They did say they were in family court, right?
Right.
Yeah, and, the problem is, a civil case, there's really no difference other than the fact that it's a criminal thing, but there's no real difference or separation between a civil case or a criminal case in common law. You know, you open up a court of record and the case goes forward. If it's a criminal case, then there was someone had been injured. And it could be a civil case, if you want to call it that, case where you're suing someone else or something, but again, there's an injury involved no matter how you go. Whether it's quote-unquote civil or criminal. Family courts is probably the most unconstitutional court out there. They have no rules. They just everything is by the seat of their pants on that. Everybody gets a lawyer. Does nothing but destroy the family, separate the children from the parents. I mean, it's just nothing but destruction. If it was a true family court, it would be all about finding the problems and trying to get that family back together, because that's what is just and right. Nothing other than that is just and right. If I was in family court, I would sue for lack of jurisdiction. They don't have any jurisdiction. Family court here in New York is a common law court. It's not a common law court. It's court of record, so it's supposed to be a common law court. They try to bring in some rules and statutes and then make up their own rules and their own thoughts and ideas and what needs to be done. It becomes something else. Who knows what it is? I call it jurisdictions unknown. But that's the battle, is to get out of that court. Even doing a habeas corpus to get your children out of there, if that's what's going on. It's a very scary and dangerous thing in those courts. Those people a lot of them, maybe they think they're doing good. I doubt the lawyers there, and they're just for the money, it seems, because they know they're destructive. Same thing with the judges. They're destructive, too, and they're lawyers. So it's nothing but just damaging. It's not a court that can bring any justice at all. I would sue that they don't have the jurisdiction. You take it into the state court and then from there into the federal court, if necessary, you move it to the federal court. So I don't know what else it is that they're looking for, but I guess that's the simple answer. All right, next question.
Okay, if one writes several affidavits of no consent to have private affairs heard in a family court, and the court puts warrants on citizens to compel or coerce them, what are safeguards for us or immediate ways to stop our children and families' lives from being under threat?
Yeah, look, this is all vindictiveness. Once you start bucking them in any court, especially a family court, you're going to be met with some of the problems. So you do want to be careful. If you can deal with them for a while and get out from underneath their thumb, and you see that kind of a light at the end of the tunnel, then I would stick with it and then later on go back to sue them for damages to your family, which is, you know, look at the damages that they do to our children in those courts. It's unrepairable. The problem here is this. We don't have courts of justice. And I should think most of the people coming to our meetings here knows that. That's what we're fighting for. But we don't have courts of justice. If we had courts of justice, then we would be in control of the political and judicial processes. We wouldn't have problems with our people who are elected. We wouldn't have a Biden problem. We wouldn't have a problem where these people are using their positions to destroy our Bill of Rights, particularly they like to focus in on that Second Amendment. Our freedom of speech, as we see in the past year, is being assaulted by the left. And I don't even like calling them the left. There is no such thing as a left and a right. They're all from one place. It's being governed by man or governed by God. It becomes that simple. So if you want to call it a left and a right now, of course, we call it that. People understand that. So we'll just stick with that idea of the left. But the right is no better in the sense of thinking of it in the terms of right and left as people understand it. I've been thinking a lot, and I literally get to the point sick to my stomach when I hear people, even good people, who are trying to do the right thing, call us a democracy. Therein is the problem. We don't even know what we are. We don't understand that we are a republic and that we're under God's law and not man's law, which is called natural law, or the laws of nature's God. And those are the laws we're under. And that particular court is not governed by some judge. It's governed by the people themselves, 12 people who rule out of their hearts, who get to decide whether not only the facts of the case, but if there is any law to apply, then they get to decide those things. Not a judge. And they also get to decide how to deal with the problem as far as the solution. The focus, of course, should be on restitution to restore the person who was injured. And so, therefore, that is the focus of a court of record, and that's what the people ought to be focused in on. Not necessarily, it could be a criminal thing. It doesn't mean that someone should even go to jail. The person needs to be restored that person injured. And, of course, if it's a violent thing, that might be a whole different story. Jail might be the thing to do, but that's for the people of the 12 jurors to decide. With today's technology, we can even, you know, track people where they're at, what they're doing with, a tracking device that they would put on their leg or something. So we don't necessarily need jails for most situations, although we put a lot of people in jail. Per population, we have more people in jail than any other nation in this world. Our county courts are filled with people who don't belong there at all. You know, I'd say, I know, what was it, Judge Bork, Judge Bork. You know, and many people remember him. I think he was a Reagan appointee, possibly. I don't remember. He never made it through. But he had mentioned that 80% of the people in jail are there because they opened their mouth. They made a plea. In other words, they don't have any authority over the individual unless they have a lawful authority, or the individual makes a plea. So they're acquiescing to the jurisdiction. But in my opinion, that also is fraud, too. But today, if you don't acquiesce and you deny jurisdiction and you make the argument, they come back harder on you. They're very, very vindictive. These are ugly people. They get very angry. I saw someone today in the medical field, and trying to think what, there was no real political conversation, but something came up about something in my conversation with this individual. And all of a sudden, what a nice person this seemed to be. But they hate, you know, the idea, I didn't mention anything about Trump or anything, but this guy came up with venom and horrible. And, so people, they've been brainwashed. They don't understand. Of course, they got all this fake news and stuff. So. But anyway, we wouldn't have these problems if we, the people, controlled the courts, which is what is meant to be. Common law courts are to be controlled by the people, not by the state, not by some political animal. These people have, these are our servants. How can a servant judge over the master? So, now you could go into a court, and it might be a contract dispute, and it could go a lot quicker maybe if you are pressing on the contract and maybe accept the judge to be an arbitrator for the case. But that would only, I would never do that unless there was a just judge. And just judges, you know, in these days, that's like an oxymoron when it comes to a court. It doesn't seem to be anything. All these judges, they just seem to be all captured by the powers that be. They maintain the status quo, and people are injured on a daily basis, and that's one of the things we're fighting for. That's what the main thing we are fighting for here at National Liberty Alliance. That's our spearhead focus, is the courts. Take back the courts. When we take back the courts, we take everything else back, because we can use the courts to force them to obey and acknowledge and honor different things that would empower the people, particularly the committee men and the militia. All right, next question.
Okay,
if anybody sees Brent come in, let me know. Well, Brent, if you're here, pipe in. But go ahead, Jim.
Okay. I continually inform family courts in New York City that my religious laws are my guidance and I have no relationship with the court. There is a support magistrate assigned to a case brought against me, and he refuses to remove himself from the case despite being a non-judicial employee.
I'm here, John.
All right, thanks, Brent.
Okay.
Yeah, could you you repeat that one, Jen?
Okay, there is a support magistrate assigned to a case brought against me, and he refuses to remove himself from this case despite being a non-judicial employee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, they'll do what they want. Going to court these days is very frightening and it could be real serious. We need to do everything we can to stay out of these courts until we can get them to become just courts again. Magistrates, to begin with, have no authority to make any ruling at all. The purpose of magistrates, ultimately, I mean, they got many, many purposes, but particularly in the court system, it's to act as the sort of the traffic cop in a court of record. You know, keep things moving along, keep the process going, make sure both sides get equal opportunity, and so on. You know, order in the courtroom is it. But that individual should be making no decisions, no summary judgments, none whatsoever. All that is left up or should be left up to the jury. Now, all judges are magistrates, so a judge could sit in a court of record as a magistrate and, you know, keep the process going. Now, in the equity courts, because there's two sides of the court, although they kind of think that they fuse them together and they're operating that way, they have brought common law and equity, fuse them together as one court, and then claim that the rules of the court to apply towards that, and they call it civil law. And then on top of that, they divide it into two, and they call it criminal and civil. Go figure that out. And, you know, prior to 1938, the rules of the court were the rules of common law. That was the rules of the court. But that was oh so confusing to them, so they say. But nothing could be more confusing than their rules. I know I have the same problems going into a court. I told the judge on numerous occasions, or two of my cases back to back, and made it very clear to them that you know, they should be recusing themselves for numerous reasons. And even the fact that we're going after one in one case, in the next case, they shouldn't have been hearing at all, because we were going after them lawfully on a legal position. But they do whatever they please. I hear them say, this is my court. No, this is the court for the people. Ultimately, if you want to know whose court it should be, it's the king's court, which is God himself. Nature's God should rule that court. And, you know, God wrote his laws into the hearts of men. That was a promise after the Lord came, that he would write his laws into the hearts of men, and he has. So 12 people coming together will come up with a just decision at the end of the day, and I believe, with very, very few exceptions, if left alone, and to allowed to really, you know, look at the case without any controls applied upon them, that it would be a very rare case where people would be unjustly, you know, decision made against someone, whether it's a criminal case or a civil case, it would be unjust. It would be very rare. I think, you know, again, you know, if we want to be judged in courts of men, that's what we have today. All of our courts are courts of men. They write statutes to control our behavior, and they apply them. If you go into a federal court, for instance, they usually come out after you, particularly in USC 18, and they'll apply USC 28, maybe some of the things of that, because it's a lot of the rules and things that they operate by. But particularly, they'll come out after you under, you know, Title 18. And if you go into the jurisdiction of Title 18, it has nothing to do with we the people. And that was where I would rest my case, with the exception of commercial activity, you know, interstate commercial activity. Commercial activity within the state, they have no business dealing with, but it would have to be going across lines from one state to another. And so they would be responsible for numerous things, even like human trafficking, of course. That's not an acceptable commercial activity, but it is a commercial activity. It's something that's interstate. So those things they have jurisdiction over. But anything else, just because you have a weapon and you go from one state to another, or if you sell a weapon to somebody, well, you're not in a business. You're just selling something you own or transporting something you own. It has nothing to do with them. But the people, they don't even know what they are. They don't even know that we're a republic. They don't even know what a true republic truly is. You know, we did a paper on a republic, and we read through it, I believe, a couple of weeks ago. It is available on our YouTube channel, The Republic versus Democracy, or maybe we called it Democracy versus Republic. I don't remember which one. But if you go to our YouTube channel right here, anybody looking at their browser, on the right side, you can click come to the YouTube, subscribe there. And you could see them here, and it is here, 006, Democracy versus Republic. And anybody who's a little confused on the differences and really wants to understand the true difference of what a true republic is, that's a good PowerPoint video to watch. And a true republic, I mean, there are many republics in this world. There's the Republic of China, Russia's a republic, Iran or Iraq, or one of them, or maybe both of them are republics, I don't know. But there's numerous republics out there, but they're not lawful republics. They're republics by usually thugs, you know, from men who want to make control, and they write law, and they write law to control the people. But that's not the kind of republic we're under. We're a republic written by the people, given the authority by God himself. And through the Declaration of Independence, we have a covenant with God to come under his laws and receive his blessings. And that's the courts of law is God's court, which we are in a natural law, and where the facts are the important part of that whole process, and justice at the end of the day, and the consideration of mercy. You know, statutes don't provide for mercy. Any of these civil law courts, mercy is not even part of that whole process. Even if they try to get a jury and pull it together, they're not going to allow that jury to give mercy to that individual if they find them guilty but want to give them mercy. No, they'll put the full force of their statutes that they're applying against an individual. And so there's no mercy. And in any court or any place where there is no mercy, then it's godless and it's worthless and it's unjust and it's nothing we want to be involved with. But again, once Trump finishes off the next month or so and deals with these people and cuts off the head of the snake, so to speak, and cuts out the cancer within our system, we the people must step up. We the people must take control. We the people must do this from the grassroots, take control of our courts, take control of our political process, and put these people back under the chains of the Constitution. Parties are not something we should be involved with. You know, they claim us to be a two-party system. I know I'm going a little off track here, but I want to make this point here. They claim we're a two-party system. We're going to do a paper on that soon. I got to find the time to write a paper on that one. And you know, talk about what our founding father said about the parties and how what George Washington had to say about parties. Two-thirds of his farewell address was concerning the problems with the parties, okay, that they would be the destruction of this nation. And so here we are. On the other hand, on the other side of the coin, because there's two sides of power. There's the political power and judicial power. You control them both. We control our entire government, 100%, as long as we exercise our authority and train our children to do the same. And so on the other side of the coin, you have Jefferson. And Jefferson said that the judges will be the destruction of this country. And lo and behold, look what we have. Watch what's going on in the courts today. It's unbelievable. And I don't know so much that I disagree too much with what's going on in the Supreme Court about hearing the case. The standing thing has been a problem ever since I've come to look into law. They use standing all the time. It's abused all the time. I do have a problem with them claiming that states don't have standing. That's kind of ridiculous. But they are coming at it from a different position. I don't want to get too much into that discussion. But they are coming at it from a different position where the electors, they're the ones that they can't say don't have standing. So I think that's part of the strategy also. But we're seeing firsthand the problems in the courts. You can see these going up from one court to another to try to get to the Supreme Court. And you can see, how can they not see a problem here? How could they not desire to fix this problem? That's because the deep state is that deep. That's because they control that much. I'm surprised to find out how much China actually controls our nation. They control us quite a bit. They're connected to a lot of governors and a lot of different people in office. And they're very smug about it. I saw a video, I forget who was putting this up, maybe Epic Times or possibly, I don't remember who, but they put some video up with some Chinese person speaking and talking about how they control America. It's pretty sad. But that's all because the people don't control it. That's because the people don't know. The people have not been formally trained. You know, if we're going to go to school and send our children to school for 12 years, we should come out at our college level in 12 years. 12 years, we should come easily out at that college level. Any schooling after that ultimately should be for maybe to become a doctor or something, you know, to strike towards a particular goal. Our schools don't teach our children how to think. They teach them what to think, and therein lies the problem. But if we trained up our children properly in schools and gave them what they really need and show them the excitement of learning, it would be a whole different story. And one of the things we need to teach our children in school is how to take control of their nation, how to have government by consent, how that they should be controlling the courts, the political process, and the judicial process. And again, if we had a true republic, if we, the people, actually could become mature enough to have a true republic, which means we have to step up and do something, we have to take control of our lives and our future, which is taking control of our government and allowing them only to exercise the jurisdictions that we have given them and the authorities that we have given them. I hear them say sometimes they have a right to do this, or they have no rights. Governments have no right, zero rights in a true, true republic. They have zero rights. They have authority. They have jurisdictions that we vested them with. And he who giveth can take it. We can take it away from them. But people don't have no clue. They have no clue that they can take this away. We can remove these judges. We can remove these people from office, politically or judicially. We can do it. But we don't know how. And even knowing how becomes another problem, because these people are not going to let go until they go to jail. That's why we have a very small window of opportunity coming up. If people don't step up in the next year or two and totally take back and seize back control of their nation, to take control of their destiny through their nation, then it will eventually be lost again, and maybe next time we won't be so blessed to get a Trump to bring us back to reality, to sanity. So we have to step up and seize that opportunity. We have to get educated. We have to educate our children, and that's the key. I know I went way off board there, but one thing led to another. All right, another question? Jen? Talking, we're not hearing. There you go.
What is the significance of law schools in the United States that are not American Bar Association accredited?
Well, I, if I recall, and I could be wrong on the number, it may sound a little high, but I thought there was like 240 schools that were non-bar schools throughout America. I don't remember the numbers, but there are schools. Some states or some places, they will permit people who went to a law school that was not bar accredited and allow them to take the bar exam and so on. And some places also will allow non-bar, educated individuals who have become lawyers to practice law. I think when Brent comes up, maybe he can expand more on this because he's one of those. But there are places and states that will not permit people have not gone to a bar accredited school. And the difference, of course, the main difference is the bar schools teach treason. The other schools have that opportunity not to teach treason. And when I say teach treason, I mean teaching these people that, first of all, we're under Roman law. Nothing could be further from truth. Rome is nothing that we want to even identify ourselves with. We don't come from Rome. We don't have a Roman law. Roman law is Justinian law, which is another name to hide its name, which brings us back to Babylon. It's Babylonian law. We're under the law of nature's God. And the equity law that we have established and authorized representatives and maybe judges and so on to exercise in our courts, even that is under the common law. They should be running by the rules of the common law under American jurisprudence, which ultimately focuses in on natural law. But, of course, they do have statutes, and understandably so. The statutes are a necessity for a court of equity because it controls the agencies, the government agencies. That's how they control the agencies. There are 57 titles, and each one of them has their own jurisdiction. One deals with the presidency, another one deals with Congress, another one deals with, the law of the sea, and so on. But they control the agencies, and they have to be, it must be written up for them to, identify what the people and agencies can or cannot do. And what charges can be brought against them. It has to be written up in statutes, and if it's not there, then they can't apply anything towards an individual vindictively. But right now, none of that means anything. It's just words. It means nothing. They courts operate under vindictiveness, and I mean that. I anybody who hasn't been in the courts and they think that that's not true, you have no idea what's going on in these courts. None whatsoever. And also the abuse in the prisons, especially political prisoners, people who are trying to step up and get their rights and are beat up and thrown into prison and abused in prison and all kinds of problems. We're no better off than China. We're no better off than any third world or banana, republic. And that's because we do nothing about it. We the people, the only ones that can save America. We better remember that. We, the people, need to get up and start doing things. Next question.
I've been seeing a lot of activity from the Board of Water Supply. Any word about them possibly trying to poison or otherwise harm the people through the water?
Well, they've already been doing that. Do you ever hear of fluoride? They have fluoride in the water. One of these plants, they pump out water, it's fluoride. Mm-hmm. Does that question go further? Or was that just a question?
Well, no, I think the question is something worse than fluoride.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Fluoride and so on. Poison people.
Well, of course, they're desperate at this point, never not know what they're going to do. I heard on the news today, I was driving, and heard on the radio. I haven't seen this anywhere else, but I haven't had much time to watch much news today, so I don't really know too much of what's going on. I'll find out tonight after the program. I'll watch a little news and see what's going on. And the best places to get anything, there's a couple of different places. One is F-22 Report. That, I think, is one of the best. And you can go to x22.com to get his report, and he gives a lot of, you know, inside information, what's going on behind the scenes, so to speak. Epic Times and is another one that's really, really good. But there's a few of them, and we need to get to find out what's really going on and understand. But we need to take control of our nation. We really do. Can you repeat the question? Because I kind of lost my train of thought where I'm going with this.
Okay, I've been seeing a lot of activity from the Board of Water Supply. Any word about them possibly trying to poison or otherwise harm the people through the water, and anything we might do to prevent it?
Yeah, well, I don't see that far from being, you know, I could see that as a possibility. Look, they destroyed our food. You know, I've had some health problems over the past years, and one of the things I did recently was just stop eating. I stopped drinking or taking anything, which is very hard to do, to find, with the high fructose corn syrup. I cut that out just about to zero. I don't think that I take anything anymore. I cut bread out totally. The GMO is a major problem. Cut that bread out. And a lot of my problems and symptoms that I've been battling with over the past, you know, years or so, 6 years, 5 years, whatever it's been, they're starting to decrease. The problems are starting to go away. I don't know if that's just a coincidence. I'm losing weight, and just by cutting out high fructose corn syrup, bread, and also bringing my sugar levels down to almost zero. I have a cup of tea in the morning usually instead of coffee, and maybe have a couple of teaspoons of sugar, but that's it for my sugar for the day. So they're already poisoning our food. And they're already putting fluoride in our water, which is a poison. And so they're not, I can see them doing anything to control the people or get rid of the people, to keep us sick, to keep us going to the doctor and getting all these things. So it's a major problem. I understand there are certain countries that have already banned it. I mean, why haven't we? We need to ban this stuff. So, yeah, it's a problem. Once we get to the other side being that these people are in jail, not only do we have to take our courts back, we need to go after all of these different large corporations that have poison in our food and remove it. The other thing is I do eat some flour, some bread. I found some organic flour. I bought a big bag of organic flour. So if I make a pizza or something, or if we do have some bread or something with a dinner, and it's the organic, but I try to, you know, because the GMO in the bread is really bad. So, and there's probably a lot more things. Others may be more knowledgeable of this area than I am, of what else is in our food and maybe even in our water. But I do know fluoride's in the water, and that's not a good thing. By the way, fluoride is destructive to the teeth, I understand. And what do they do when they clean their teeth? They clean it and they do a fluoride thing on it, you know? I don't know, go figure that out. You go to a doctor, you go to a hospital, and they still make you wear those stupid masks, and they know better than that. They know these masks aren't going to stop anything. Well, what's the purpose of the whole thing? And they know that their emergency rooms are not flooded with people coming in with this disease, and they're not filled up with all these problems because of this invisible enemy. But we are such dumb slaves, it's pathetic. It really is pathetic. And I speak of myself first. And I try to make the battle as often as I can, not wear my mask as often as possible. As soon as you take the mask off in the store, someone's going to come up, some Nazi who thinks they're a good person and thinks that we're poisoning them or something. I don't know. It's a problem. Recently, I was thrown out of a store because I didn't have a mask on or quick enough when I walked into the front door. You know? Anyway, poison is a problem. Next question.
Okay, this one might come to the forefront here in the near future. He says, I know that this is not the most discussed issue, nor is it the most important, but here in Pennsylvania, the Game Commission for Hunting and Fishing seemingly has more authority and power than the state police, from what I've been told. I've heard stories that if a hunting-related violation occurs, such as shooting a deer with the incorrect number of antlers, and is witnessed by the game warden, one has his or her firearms, vehicles, and persons seized, even if it occurred on one's own land. To me, if this is true and occurs regularly, then the Game Commission is extremely rogue and usurps authority it does not have. It is a no-brainer that this is hysterically unconstitutional. It is not the subject of hunting and harvesting game, which I am pretty sure that this right is hidden somewhere in the plethora of rights protected under the often overlooked Ninth Amendment to the Bill of Rights. It is a principle on jurisdiction I am regarding. Your comments on this are greatly appreciated.
Well, again, I don't know what court they would bring you into if they brought you into administrative court. It has no authority over you. But again, it's an uphill battle, out of control, and the judges in the higher levels will try to push you back down into those courts. They're what's called nisi prius courts. You have to agree. And if you get a permit or a license to go hunting, again, that puts you into their game, so to speak. And I'm not telling people not to get that. But in any event, look at the solution to that problem and all problems, family court problems, those problems, any other, abusive agency, particularly on the police levels. All of those things, the solution is a very simple solution to deal with all of those things. It's called nullification. But in order to nullify, you have to have people educated that are sitting, that are becoming the jurist, and we have to have courts of record that apply, the jury. So criminal offenses require an indictment. They claim, again, they make this stuff as they go. They claim that if you don't go to a state penitentiary, but if you go to a county prison, then they don't need to get themselves an indictment against you. But the Constitution is pretty clear. You can't take my liberty. You can't take my things, okay, without going through due process. And due process is in a court of law. And if you're going to come out after me with criminal charges, that's going to take my liberty. You need to go get yourself an indictment. But, again, they get away with all this stuff. I never, ever, 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 ever see anyone correct anyone that's on all these, we listen to all these people speak, and even the good people, even Trump himself, although he uses the word more often than others, but he still uses the word democracy. We are not a democracy. Stop calling us a democracy. We did a paper on that. We were talking about it a while ago, democracy versus republic. Stop calling us a democracy. Yeah, we choose our representatives in a democratic way in the sense that the majority rules to get that person elected, but that's it. That's as far as it goes. We are not a democracy. We are a republic, and we're a natural law republic. We are the only lawful republic on the planet. People need to think about that. We, the United States of America, is the only lawful republic on the planet. Democracy versus Republic up on our YouTube. Go listen to that. And I think we posted also our papers. Let me go take a quick look. All of these things are written in memorandum form also, other than just being, under education, if you go to NLA Topics PP, that's PowerPoint video, and you click on that page, it'll open up. And I'm not sure whether this is up to date, but we do have video 3. I'll have to go look for video 1 and 2, make sure we get up there. I don't see 4 in here either. That's 6. And, wow, it looks like some of these, I'm wondering if they shut them off. I got to go check this page out. I don't know why these videos are not showing up. Here's video number 6, and we go to 9. So 7 and 8 is here, and they're not effective. So I'll have to check that out and see what's going on with that. But we also have transcripts or written form, memorandum written in form on all of these things. Let's take democracy versus republic, okay? And tyranny naturally rises out of democracy. Plato. Way back. They knew way, way back. Our founding fathers knew this very, very quickly and clearly. They understood the differences of the different governments available. You know, there are five basic forms of government. They are monarchy, ruled by one person; oligarchy, ruled by a small handful of people; democracy, ruled by majority of the citizens, or we can call that the Rob Rule eventually, because it becomes an anarchy. There's the republic, ruled by law. And again, there are two republics. There's a republic by God, you know, natural law republic, which is from man, authorized from God, right in the book of Genesis. Go subdue, you know, we've given a command. And then there's republics that are created by men for the purpose of controlling the people. And then, of course, anarchy. Democracy always runs into anarchy and ends up usually as an oligarchy, which is ruled by a small handful of people behind the scenes. The United States of America, until Trump, has been an oligarchy for quite some time, probably going back to Kennedy. I don't know before Kennedy whether we can say that there was an oligarchy, but clearly, you know, we were warned, what was it, Eisenhower, who warned us about the military-industrial complex. This is the biggest problem. So already, I guess, the forces were being moved to take control of the White House. And I do know, if we watch some of the Griffin documentaries, which we have all of them up on our website under education, but a lot of the Griffin, and we also show use a lot of those videos in our civic study. He lays out a lot of the problems way back when, going back into the earlier part of the century, the 20th century, coming into the early 1900s and moving on. That was a time period of them little by little taking more and more control, controlling the narrative. I mean, we all live in a fantasy world. We're all in a fantasy, every one of us, because of the narrative. Those of us who are not in the fantasy world is in a world of confusion right now, trying to figure out where we got to go to. Are we going to just go to another fantasy, or are we going to step up, get educated, take control, and get into a serious reality, a reality of a nation of law, a republic, a true republic? So that's our choices. What are we going to leave our children? All right, next question.
Okay, this one's a bit cryptic. I'm assuming it's a right to travel question. It says, number one, license. Number two, plate. Number three, insurance. Number four, would we still be in their game? And five, what would be the difference?
Well, if you're going to drive a car, I think people should be responsible enough to have insurance. Should an accident occur, something has to take place there. So it wouldn't be very good to have a vehicle and get out there without insurance. As far as driver's licenses and plates and, you know, given out by the state and stuff, I never thought too much about the plates, but I don't see that we necessarily need them. But maybe, yeah, that's something I think I'd like to hear the debates on and try to discover whether a plate is something. Maybe they should put a number on the back of a car when it's created. And I don't know. For what purpose is another question. Comes to commercial activity, it's a different story altogether. Clearly, we don't need a driver's license. I've got a driver's license. I am a citizen of the United States. I have no problems making that statement. They try to twist that around meaning something else, but that doesn't amount to a hill of beans to me. They're not going to bring those kind of things up in court anyway, but by being claiming to be a citizen doesn't lose your standing, if you want to call it standing, or your right to justice, period. We don't need driver's licenses. But I in the past, I did drive some commercial, and I have a license my strategy of having a license is in case I want to drive commercially. Well, it's a good idea. So. And it's really bad because they're charging more and more for these driver's licenses also. But no, they shouldn't be required. You have a right to travel. A license plate, we'd have to think a little bit about that. I don't know. Clearly, whatever system they got up is wrong, though. And insurance, I think it's a responsibility to be able to deal with an accident. And if you've got property and you've got money, and well, then maybe you don't need to get insurance. You can lose what you got, though. You get injured, someone could take everything you got. So I think it'd be wise to get insurance. But, you know, to get in trouble before an accident occurs because you don't have insurance, that's wrong. But people should have insurance unless they got a better plan. Again, you got lots of money, lots of property, and you can take care of someone's hospital bills if you're found in fault. And that's the problem. All right, next.
Okay, this is kind of a long statement.
Well, why don't you leave that aside? Any other questions, particularly short ones? Because I've been on the mic quite a while.
I don't have any more short. I have one brief announcement, John.
Let's do the announcement, and then you have one long statement.
Yeah, long statement.
All right, let's do the long statement. How long is it? A minute long? 2 minutes?
Oh, it's a half page or more.
All right, let's go through that, and let's see how far we'll get on that. But
okay. This is the way it is and has always been. You don't matter. Only the political elites matter. Donald Trump and we the people are not part of this team. There has been no action in stopping or criminally investigating the election fraud over the years, and now it's reached new levels. We the people had common law grand juries, and this right cannot be removed. So the administrative courts, along with the political elites, switched this out from us over the decades. The people are unaware of this power they have. We also have laws like USC 18 Section 4, which states that public officials must report crimes and cannot cover up. There are many more laws, but I don't have the time to look these up. I have included the FBI handbook on voter fraud, and it's clear that intimidation, non-signature verification, delivery of ballots after poll closes, and a host of other illegal activities like changing voter process without legislators or state constitutional changes. All of this, along with affidavits, is evidence. And then he gives phone numbers that you can use to report public corruption. He says every city of interest is listed there, but keep in mind these FBI agents are also part of the problem. So you have to contact the federal district attorneys as well to keep the FBI in line. Their numbers are at, and he gives another a link. He says you can also submit a tip to the FBI using their online form at tips.fbi.gov. Make sure all information is accurate. So it's a way if anybody here had stumbled across anything that was illegal, or needed to be reporting in the voting process, they could go ahead and contact the FBI or other agencies. Not really a question, per se.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me just do a little comment on this. This is all about the reset. It's not just the economic reset, but the geopolitical reset. The whole thing, Hillary Clinton, the way I understand it, they've been trying to make this move for a long time. You know, I know myself and I know many other people have been locked and loaded and ready for 20 years because I am surprised we've made it this far and haven't been totally lost. But our Constitution, particularly the Bill of Rights, in the minds of the people, the remnants left, let me emphasize that, the remnants of the Bill of Rights still in the minds of the people is really the big problem. Trying to take our weapons away. The day they take our weapons is the day that they come out after us with their guns. That's just the way history has showed us. We did a paper on that too. I don't know whether we ever posted that. We did it a while ago, so I'll have to go review that and post that PowerPoint video on that particular subject. But we may already have done. I don't remember. We've done so many. But this is all about the reset. And Hillary Clinton was supposed to have won, and I understand by the time we got out of her 8 years, then we would have been in wars, we would have all kinds of economic problems, It would just go on and on and on, all of the problems, and the people would be so busy with their problems, and they'd be willing to do anything to get out from the stress of these problems, not only of war, but also economically speaking. And then we would end up at the end of the day without a constitution. If Biden were to get in, then within the first 4 years, first of all, either he'll be removed pretty quickly, or maybe even they'll give him a poison or something, whatever. They've already done those things many, many times. They've killed, I believe it was 7 of our presidents have been assassinated, and 3 or 4 of them have been attempted assassination. That's pretty big. That's a lot. That's like 1 in 4, you know, or 1 in 4.5. If he gets in, there'll not be another election. We won't have to worry about problems with elections anymore, because there won't be any more. The Constitution will be gone. We'll become a Marxist nation. That woman, I forget her name, that's running with, what's her name, the one that's running with Biden? Oh, goodness. In any event. She's a hard, hardcore Marxist, dead against the Second Amendment. And they seem to think that they can get rid of the Second Amendment because they have no respect for unalienable rights. And that would happen quite quickly. Our economy would fold over and just be destroyed. By the end of 4 years, we wouldn't have a constitution anymore. It would have been shredded up and we'd be something else. And you have this other movement going on out there the sovereign citizen movement. That comes by many, many names. And those movements are all controlled by players, Pied Pipers. Bringing people in with half-truths and bringing solutions that are not solutions. It's only going to get them in trouble, number one, or bring us further into subversion, into submission and slavery. We have to have the truth. We have to have our founding fathers. We have to have the Federalist Papers. You want to understand the Constitution, go read the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers. And then there's quite a few books out there that are really good, like the real Thomas Jefferson, the real Benjamin Franklin, the real George Washington, The Making of America. All of those books, really, The 5,000-Year Leap, those books collectively are fantastic books, great books, give you great insight, good foundation, and they give you the facts with sources. And of course, the book that's coming out, which is Government by Consent, you can purchase that book right off our line. I wrote that book, and my editor still hasn't gotten back to me. They dropped me an email. I picked up on it over the weekend, but I couldn't call them today. I'm going to call them tomorrow and find out where they're at, because they should have been done by now, and they're not. And I should have that book back and going through and sending it back to get it into publication. Right now, it looks like it's probably not going to come. Well, I know it's not going to come out before January, until January. And I'm going to be pushing real hard to make sure it comes out in January. But anyway, that book is due out in January. It's anticipated to be close to 1,000 pages, if not. And it covers everything that I could think of. It's my life's work, ultimately, focusing in on these problems and how to take back this nation, how to take back the courts, what is liberty, the difference between the republic and a democracy, where we come from, who are our founding fathers, what was their position on slavery. You know, people don't understand that we were the first nation born anti-slavery. Jefferson put it right into the Declaration of Independence. All men are created equal. He was clear about that. We did a paper on him, and that should be available up on our website. Let me see, where is this? Oh, here it is. I'm pretty sure we did, we did do one, I know that. I'm looking to see if we got it posted up here, because we should have. Slavery in America, right there, 27 and a half minute long PowerPoint video. And this lays out the lie. It corrects the lies. It exposes the lies of we've been hearing all our lives, that Jefferson was a contradiction, that he was against, that he was for slavery, and that he had slaves and he bought slaves. Well, he did have slaves, but he inherited them. I'm not going to get into the details. If you go watch this video, of Founding Fathers and Slavery in America, and you will hear things and see things, and we have sources on all this stuff, totally contrary to what we are being taught about Jefferson and our Founding Fathers. They were not, they were born into a world where slavery, and it wasn't America, you know, it was a British rule. And that's they were brought in, born into that, and they brought slavery here. And but America was created to get rid of slavery. It just took a while. Lincoln speaks about this. He speaks and focuses back on our Founding Fathers and talks about the fact how they worked to diligently to cut slavery out of this new nation that was created, and he finished the job. Of course, you know, we have, I hate to just call it a group of people, but we have to call it what it is. It's the Democrats. The Democrats, you know, the leadership of the Democrats, people follow democracy, whether you know, Democrats or they follow Republicans, and they don't even know the difference. I remember, just a little off on this here, I remember when I first registered to vote, I had just turned 18, and I heard something somewhere, and I said, I should vote. And I tried to figure out what I should be, a Republican. Nobody could tell me the difference. Even back then, nobody could tell me the difference between a Republican and a Democrat. Well, the difference is in the words itself. You know, a people of law, in the case of our republic, a natural law, or the people of mob rule, or the rule by majority. That's a democracy. In a democracy, we can get rid of your Second Amendment. Just have to have that 51 to 50, or you know, whatever it is, one more than the other side, and it's gone. So, but anyway, you know, slavery was something never meant to be in our nation. But going back to really that whole long thing, really the problem is going to the reset. And again, it's not just an economic reset, it's a geopolitical reset. And at the end of the day, we will be communist. And if you want to know about communism, for those of us who, well, I was born, I grew up in the 50s and the 60s, so I was in the tail end of knowing, well, not the tail end, but really in the middle of a lot of the things, communism and Marxism. Nazism was just had just come to an end. And they're all the same. All the isms are all the same. They end up, ultimately, they end up as communism. Total 100% control by the party. A single party rule controlling everything. Everything you do. And, trying to think where I was going with this. I don't remember. But in any event, the difference between a republic and a democracy, slavery, the reset, get rid of our republic. And move into communism. Oh, I remember where I was going. Anybody who hasn't seen this video, you really need to see this video. Yeah, it was so important, I put it up on the front page. And let me see. Maybe I moved it over. I thought I left it on the front page. Is this the front page? Yeah, it is. This one, I left it on the front page. Let me see where else it would have been. I don't remember where I moved that. Gerard, are you here? Do you remember where I moved that that video on China and Korea? Well, I think it was North Korea. This woman who was escaping from North Korea. And let me see if it's on the news page. Maybe I moved it to the news page. Wow, a lot of videos have been removed. You see, every one of these lines is a video been removed. Video been removed. Wow. Maybe the Chinese video is gone. I don't see it here. I'm pretty sure it was on the front page. Let me go back here and see if there was a video being removed on our front page. Yep, this is where it was, right here. One, two videos have been removed. Three videos have been removed from our front page. Lots of videos have been removed. And this may injure our our test up here. We have our courses, the free civics course, and that's filled with lots of videos. Most of the videos in that course, though, is on our channel, and it was on kind of a private channel, so it didn't get many hits, so maybe they don't even pay attention to it. So I don't know if those videos are still in there. Hopefully they are. These people are really destructive, but here we go. This is Marxism. This is communism. This is Nazism. This is the isms. And it's a rule by force and destruction. And it's a shame that that video is not up there anymore, because this woman escaped it and tells the story. She had no understanding of the idea or word of freedom or liberty. None whatsoever. It didn't even come into her mind, and she was born into this kind of an environment. And when she was a very young child, her parents whispering her not to say certain things, not to talk about certain things, be careful. And they take out the entire family. The entire family, if you violate it, they take out your immediate family. Gone. Everyone dies. That's where America is heading. And that is why we are going to win, because we have a president with a backbone. We have a president that's one of us, that understands what America should be, to a great deal anyway. And he is determined, and he says he's not going, not on his watch. This ain't going to happen on his watch. Well, guess what? It's happening on his watch right now. So we know he's going to deal with this. He's allowing it to be exposed, allowing it to be seen, and the people eventually, more and more people will see before he makes the move. I think he's ready to make the move, because I think I mentioned this earlier. I heard this on the radio on the way that I was driving around today, that that not only that the vaccines were now out there, but they were under military escort. What the heck is that about? Why is it under military escort? And I heard him talk about this twice. And he may have spoken about it more than twice, but two different occasions where President Trump had said that when the vaccines go out, he's going to get it out real quickly. He's going to use the military. And for what purpose? Why? Why would he use the military? It doesn't even make sense. I just don't understand. Well, again, it's a cover story, in my opinion. It means it's about to hit the fan. That's what I think it means. And I heard recently someone said it's days away. And we've heard Q say, and others say many times, particularly Q, what's coming cannot be stopped. Nothing can stop what's coming. And it's going to come now. This is the month, and there's certain different focuses on different dates, but that's irrelevant. It's happening. It's about ready to hit the fan, and things are about ready to change. And we, the people, have to be there to be able to fill the power void that's going to take place over the course of the next, 15, 20 days, because I believe it's going to happen before this month ends. And now we, the people, have to take these positions. What positions? The political control. It's being controlled by them. We need to be controlling that through the committee man. Judicial control. It's being controlled by bar attorneys. We need to take it back. We need to control and make sure that the juries are not tainted, that they understand the power and the authority that they have to decide not only the law, not only the facts, but also the law and the penalty, and that the judges is not to say anything about that case to them, and also prevent U.S. attorneys or any other prosecutor to approach a grand jury. They should not be there, because they're there to get their ham sandwich, and that's an insult. That's an insult. We should take that as an insult. We should be really disgusted. Our justice system is the ham sandwich that they can get indicted, and we laugh at that, and we should cry over that. We shouldn't laugh. We should realize how serious that is. No, the sheriff. I can't think of anyone else but the sheriff, and I don't care if it's a federal crime or anything that takes place in that county, whatever county that sheriff is, the sheriff, whether it's a federal grand jury or a state grand jury, the sheriff should approach them with the potential crime. If the sheriff sees fit, the sheriff may say, hey, I don't see that being fit to go before the grand jury. Now, we the people can't be refused access to a grand jury, you know, but you could, we could refuse the government access to a grand jury. The sheriff can refuse them. But the sheriff also, he has a problem because he's not educated either. Government by consent. We must learn all about it. And that's why I wrote the book. And that's the purpose of National Liberty Alliance, is to teach these people these things and to take their positions on grassroots level and take control of their life, of their nation, from their grassroots. It starts all on a grassroots level. What is it that someone, I forget who it was, it said, just it was a Speaker of the House, I'm trying to think, all politics is local. That's 100% true. It's up to the people. You know, if the committee were in power, we wouldn't have these election problems. If the committeemen were in power and understand their powers and authorities and abilities to recall and what they can do, we wouldn't have any unruly individual in office. We'd get rid of them. We'd recall them. We wouldn't have these people coming and using their positions to try to make a platform and a springboard to destroy our unalienable rights, particularly the Second Amendment and even our First Amendment, you know, and all of them, and more than that. Because that's just the main focus or idea of liberty in those 10 amendments. We have a lot more liberty than that, the right to travel and so on. You know, these people should be arrested. There's many U.S. codes. I know I wrote a paper. I don't know if we did anything on it yet, but we'll get it up eventually. It's in all the papers I've written or in the book, so you can get it in the book, but we will do a PowerPoint on it. But I'm pretty sure we may have done, or maybe I'm in the process of doing a PowerPoint on it, because we've got about 30 or 40 PowerPoints we're working on. You know, in these, in federal law, okay, there is statutes written for the elected individual, for the bureaucrat, for those people who are working in these government agencies. Okay, there is federal law that speaks about these people, or even institutions or anybody really trying to teach, send out literature, or anything that is destructive to our Constitution. That's treason. And when these people get up and use a political platform after they took an oath to uphold and the Constitution, and uphold the Constitution, and support it, and then they go out and start talking about getting rid of our Second Amendment. This is what political parties do. We do not need political parties at all. If we truly run on our republic, the natural law republic that we have, and the people exercise their powers and authorities in the courts through the administration of the juries, and in our political process through the committeemen, the elected committeemen, in those two positions, understanding their powers and authorities, how far they can go, what they can do to get rid of these people and prevent these people from doing what they're doing, we'd have no need of parties. There'd be absolutely no need at all of political parties. Political parties, the purpose is to set one side against the other, to create the illusion of a right and a left, as if the right is good, or as if the left is good, and they're both destructive. No, there is either lawlessness on the one side and on the other side, total control. And just off of the lawless side, there's that balance of liberty, okay? The republic that our founding fathers created. Rule by law. We don't need political parties. They're destructive. Okay. You had an announcement, and we'll move over. Gerard, you here? Ready to take the controls? And I see we know Brent is here. We're going to pass things to him for a few, and then we'll do an open forum. Jan, did you have an announcement?
Yes, I had one announcement. Occasionally I get emails from people who are being subjected to microwave energy. Normally it's by the local constabulary. And one of our members, Helena, has been harassed for years and years and years, and she has gone vocal and done a number of interviews And she sent me links to them, so I posted them on the Natural Healing page on the website. To find that, just go to the Members tab and the blue banner at the top. Click on Members, and at the very last link there is the Natural Healing Call. And just scan down, and you'll find, I think it's 3 interviews by her on her experiences being harassed and irradiated by microwave energy. So if anybody here has had that problem,
is there any way to detect that for certainty, number one, and maybe counteract it possibly from vibrations or something, number two, or are those two things not possible?
Say again, John, I didn't catch what you were...
Well, how do we detect if we're being subjected to that kind of a thing? How do we detect that?
Well, these are, you can feel it. These are like military-grade weapons, actually, and can be used by local police forces for various things. I think like seeing through walls and things like that, but they also radiate enough energy that are very disturbing to an individual if they happen to be irradiated by them. If you go listen to the interviews, I think you'll see what they've been doing to
her. Yeah, but I'm wondering if there's something that you could buy to detect it and maybe pinpoint the direction where it may be coming from, that type of thing.
There are small, inexpensive RFI measuring devices.
Anybody that's in that should get that type of a thing and start to document and maybe talk to the sheriff about it. But you know, look at these things are hard to believe by the person who is living totally under the narrative, the existing narrative, and you'll look like a crackpot. I believe these things, I'm aware of these things, but I never knew how to prove it or anything, because they're doing a lot worse things than that to us, and they're planning to do a lot more. This is why, look at, Trump is not going to leave the office. He's going to execute his executive order that he put out back in 2018 concerning interference by foreign forces into our political process and our elections. And that's what he's going to use. And I think that's why the military is being dispersed across the nation as we speak right now, spearheading the mobilization of these vaccines across America. And again, I think that's the cover story, because it doesn't even make sense to me, but whatever. I think that's the cover story. I think it's happening as we speak. I mean, people have been being arrested for quite some time now. We know that Sessions put in thousands. I'm hearing something like 100,000. I forget the numbers. Do you remember the numbers that was claimed that Session has put in for sealed indictments? And a lot of them have already been opened, and low-level people have been arrested. But it's the higher rankers that's going to be arrested soon. Sessions was to be trusted. Q had said that, trust Sessions. Doesn't matter what you see going on in the narrative, and Trump playing into them to look weak. Barr's against him now. The United States Supreme Court's against him. The people he put into the Supreme Court, they're against him. Sessions betrayed him. I mean, look at, when you're strong, appear weak. And we know he is extremely strong right now. But it does appear as if he's weak. And that's all part of the game, all part of the play, his strategy. And now the hammer's about to come down. Listen to Powell, what Powell has to say, this can't stand, we have military tribunals coming into play, we have the Justice Department coming into play, we have a lot of problems with the FBI, particularly leadership, on lower rankers, every FBI agent I've met, and I've met quite a few of them to come to investigate me, and those that I've met, they were pretty decent people, and they walked away saying, well, we're going to close the case. We don't see no problems here. But the people who sent, usually sent out by a judge, whenever we went after a judge, that's when I'd find myself being, called up by the FBI or something. It's their leadership that's the problem, and that's a danger. And these U.S. attorneys, these people are as bad as the judges. They're as evil as the judges. I can tell you firsthand. And I had a conversation with one of them, and I told him how evil he was. He didn't even respond back. He was very polite to me. But I reamed him pretty bad, and I couldn't believe he even stayed on the phone with this conversation and continued on with me. He knew I was right. And because they're breaking the law, and it's a conspiracy. And I told him, I'm going after you and the judge together, both of you. I'm not going to allow this to stand. And I'm working on a paper right now to deal with that problem. But and when I do, I'll share it. Look at bottom line. We need to take control. Every Monday, people should be coming to this call or downloading these calls. People should be asking questions concerning the political processes, how we take it back and how things work, and about committeemen, about the militia, about all the things in the grassroots and organizing them and participating and looking for partnerships, and by asking us to connect them with other people in their county and their state and so on and so forth. We need to organize the people on the grassroots level, and the people need to become educated so that they can act completely on their own and have control of their own destiny from whatever problems affect them within their political subdivisions, which is spread, of course, across the United States in every state and county and township. The people need to run this, and the people need to take control of this. But you have to have a proper education. Jefferson spoke about this. If the people don't know, then teach them. Don't take it away from them. Teach them. Of course, they're not going to teach us anything. So we need to teach ourselves, and we need to maintain control of that teaching. And that's the purpose of NLA. We intend on being here for a long time and be here available for people to be prepared and educated to take these positions on the lower level, to answer questions and give them answers to things that they don't know. We have no intentions of telling them what to do, but we'll tell them what they can do, A, B, or C, if they have a situation or a problem. And much of we've recorded almost everything we've done here in writing and open forums. And we need to do is probably go back, get someone to go back to all of our open forums and pull out pieces on subjects, a question and an answer, a question and an answer, and list them out. So if anybody who would like to take that job on, get a hold of Jan at Janet, J-A-N, at nationallibertyalliance.org. You can find him under our directory. You can find his phone number there. Or send him an email telling him you're interested in doing this or something else to assist us on the national level. We need lots of leaders. We need district leaders. We need state leaderships. That leadership is all, the purpose of all of that is not to control the grassroots, but to educate the grassroots, to bring the ability to communicate from one county to another county, whether it's within your own state or another state across on the other side of our nation. But people need to be educated, and we put the framework out of all the things that they need to construct. You can find that all under People's Duty. I like People's Duty, or anybody looking at the their browsers here. There's our campaign for constitutional sheriffs. Get involved. Get the book. Buy your sheriff a book. Get involved. Organizing your county. Step-by-step detailed information, how to structure it, how to put it together. Build a committee of safety, which is what our founding fathers used to save and build this, to build and save this nation. The committees of safety is the process, which really morphed into the committeemen. But I think we should maintain a committee of safety in every county, which ultimately is all the people working together, whether they're working within the militia, and everybody should participate in the militia, either organized or unorganized. Everybody should be able to participate and be educated in weapons and the strategies. But in any event, also the committeemen, we need to get the committeemen going. They're the ones that control who goes onto the ballot. They're the ones that could pull anyone out of office and recall. They're the ones that could make the phone call and say, hey, buddy, you're breaking you're not obeying the Constitution. Cease and desist on this. Otherwise, we're going to get rid of you. And they will obey the elected committeemen. They owe their job to the elected committeemen, the most powerful position, political position in America. And it's only about 40 hours of work a year. It's all around election time, and we wouldn't have all these shenanigans and problems that we've been having. They would not exist. If the Electoral Committee were in place, that would have, they just wouldn't exist. We would, first of all, we would have forced an open counting of votes, okay? There's absolutely no reason why there can't be an open counting of votes. None whatsoever. All done within each election district, you know? And we'll get into that in the near future, discussion on that particular, you know, subject. But anyway, how to become a committeeman. Don't forget to register to vote. Committeeman members in your county, connect them. Committee petition process, how to fill out the position. I'm going to redo that one, by the way. And I need to do it soon, hopefully before January hits. But the committeeman petition process, the committeeman proposed party rules. We put a framework together. Everybody should really... you know, bring these rules together and start with what we put together as the framework. It brings the liberty to the people, and it takes away the authority of the quote-unquote all-powerful chairman. You don't like the chairman, let's get rid of him, a 51 to 50 vote or whatever the numbers may be. You know, let's get rid of him and put another chairman in there. They should not have any more power or authority than anyone else. They got one vote, you got one vote. All they are is the person that's supposed to be just keeping things moving along, subjects, and keeping a process and a procedure and covering old news, new news, and making things going forward. Okay, that's all. Nothing more. But they've turned it into something else. It goes right up into Congress. Republic review, we need to get involved with that. The militia registration, militia members in your county, militia rules for the several states. Very important that we pay very special attention to the rules of the militia. Brent Winters, who's going to be speaking shortly, he's the author of the book, Militia of the Several States. You can get that book. I believe we have it on our page on our right-hand side of our website. Here it is. It shows up pretty much on every page. You can click on Militia of the Several, for the Several States. You can click on that. You'll go to Brent's website where you can get that pocket handbook. Okay. Also, we have a course under People's Duty. We have a course under the courses, the Free Militia course. I worked with Brent. I took his book, and we created a course out of that. He approved the end results of that, and we posted that course. So people can take that course, and it lays out the structure, and we have to be careful to put the structure of a militia together interchangeable with the militia in the county next door or the county all the way on the other side of the nation. They should all be running under the same structure, you know, framework structure of rules. But anyway, back under People's Duty, we have the public review, the militia registration, members in your county, militia of the several states, become a jury administrator. We need four administrators and secretary, but we need a paralegal. Paralegal secretary, I guess we'll call it. We need one person who's educated as a paralegal to work with the four administrators. And that, you know, that could really be five administrators with the main duty of that individual with the paperwork, because we have to have our paperwork properly done for indictments particularly, okay, and also all the necessary structure and secretarial needs that need to be, filled out, concerned, filed, and so on. And then the county sheriff. We're already working on that. We have sheriffs working, getting together, getting educated right here at National Liberty Alliance. And we want to, that's why we have the campaign for constitutional sheriffs going. We want to get the book into every sheriff's hands. And if you purchase a book for your sheriff, we will mail it out and we will insert a letter from another sheriff who is spearheading this whole process. And working with sheriffs. He's trying to unite sheriffs in his state, all the sheriffs, and beyond all the states. He's making connections with a lot of people, and they're organizing. We need to connect with them. We need to get our sheriff involved with them. We need our sheriff to become a constitutional sheriff and understand his powers and authorities. We need to, here in New York, they're talking about a forced inoculation with that vaccine that's coming out. And this moron governor here we have, Cuomo, he made a statement recently. He says, well, we're going to let the people, because they're trying to push legislation right now for force inoculations. And he made a statement. He says, if we can't reach 70% of the people, I think he said 70% of the people to take this, then we're gonna put the legislation out there and force everyone to take it. Now, I already talked to my sheriff about this a while back, with taking weapons away and this kind of stuff, and forcing vaccines, because this has been a problem that's been raising its ugly head for quite some time. And my sheriff said, call me, I'll be there. So, you should be talking to your sheriff, and we'll teach you and show you how to talk to your sheriff. But it begins with having a sheriff connect with your sheriff, get things going educational-wise, you structuring your organizing, getting at least six people or more organized in your county, start to have meetings and inviting people from all these other liberty groups around in your county and other different groups of people. But when you reach a certain point is when you want to approach your sheriff. And hopefully he's been primed already. Hopefully he's been had his conversation with another sheriff who shares the book, Government by Consent, with the sheriff. We have a large chapter on sheriffs in this book. So, and when they get to the end of the book, they'll understand what liberty is. They'll understand what our heritage is and who we are as a people and the right of the people, the unalienable right of the people. To be in charge of their own lives and not to be interfered with by all these code enforcement officers and so on, and get our courts of justice back. Only the people can do this. Donald Trump cannot do this. Donald Trump can only take out the cancer, rip it out, but it will return. It will return if we don't feed back into the nation our proper nutrients and vitamins, so to speak, into the body of our republic, that being we the people taking control, exercising and enforcing the law in our courts and in our political processes. Okay, with that, Gerard, you here? Where's Gerard? Calling Gerard. All right, well, anyway.
He's muted.
You there? I'm going to pass the board over to you. I'll be in the background, too, but we're going to go over to Brent, and you got the controls? Wow, what are you doing? Building a new desk?
Taking over the universe.
Rumpelstiltskin here. Okay, let me introduce Brent. Brent, are you ready? And you take the board, and we'll go to Q&A as soon as Brent is done. And maybe Brent might want to start off with a little bit of commenting on these different schools, bar schools versus non-bar accredited schools. Brent, pipe in if you can.
Okay, I'm here.
There you go. Okay. All right. Passing it over to Brent Winters. Brent Winters is a common lawyer. He's the author of the book, The Excellence of the Common Law. Great, great book. He's got his website, commonlawyer.com. Brent, you got the mic.
Thanks, John. And my comments are my own. I may or may not agree with the leadership of National Liberty Alliance, but they're nice enough to let me say a few words and have for, it's been a few years now, quite very much an opportunity to talk about things that I deem important. Anybody can start a law school. Sounds funny, doesn't it? I knew a fellow back in Boston. Well, I knew of his father. I'd been reading his son's books. His son ended up being a professor at Trinity Seminary in up around Chicago someplace. His name was Gleason Archer. He became the foremost Semitist in the world. Semitic.
Brent, yes. excuse me just for 1 minute. I just want to make this note because I realize I see we've been open for quite some time, Jan. See somebody, a couple people have been here almost 200 minutes, which means there's a possibility this may automatically shut down. I think they only allow 4 or 5 hours. So we didn't refresh the room between the earlier meetings and tonight's meeting. So if that happens, everybody, if we get disconnected, just come back in. Okay, and anybody wants to get into the queue, *6 and a 1. Sorry, Brent, go right ahead back.
Oh, okay, well, this fellow became a student of Semitics. That means he was a student. He was a professor of the Semitic tongues, of which there are about 15 or 16. And his name was Gleason Archer. His father, back around before World War One, he started a law school in Boston, Massachusetts. He wrote a book about the struggle he had. I mean, in Boston, you're competing with Harvard and all those things, you know. He wrote a book about the struggle he had trying to start that law school. Well, that law school is today it's the law school at Suffolk University. He's the one that founded the whole university there in Boston. I've been there. I got to know one of the professors there, a fellow by the name of, his name is Rounds. He's a trust lawyer about trust, and he's a strong proponent of our common law. Rounds, he wrote a book, he updates a book, he wrote it and updated every year on the common law of trusts. He started law school, and he just started it as a night school back before World War One. People that were working could go to school and learn about the law. And he rented a room in downtown Boston, and that's how he did it. Now, I had no other people that have started law schools, different kinds. I mean, I got to thinking when you were talking about this a while ago, I've started a law school. I've taught 4 courses. And we're going to teach another course starting after the first of the year, Lord willing. We've taught a course on due process, taught a course on contract law, common law contracts. And by the way, those courses are slowly coming available because the recordings of those courses are being edited and posted where you can come to the website and go through the course yourself. Do the assignments and go through the course. That's coming slowly, but it's coming. But after the first of the year, go to commonlawyer.com, www.commonlawyer.com, and you can see how to participate in the course that's coming up. Just keep looking. We'll get some stuff posted there about how to do that. Usually it's set up so that what we have done, you can see me, but I can't see you, and we meet once a week for 15 weeks. But the ABA, the American Bar Association, it's about 100, just over 100 years old. It's taken on the responsibility by default of accrediting law schools. That doesn't mean you have to have an accredited law school. It just means that they accredit them. It's just like the National Accrediting Association of Christian colleges and universities. Well, they've taken it upon themselves privately to become the foremost power in accrediting schools. Now, there's some fine Christian schools out there that are not accredited, don't want to be accredited, wouldn't allow accreditation. Well, there are others out there that have requested accreditation, and the National Association Accrediting Christian Schools won't accredit them. So it does. I mean, who knows? Who cares if you're accredited? The only thing about a law school that makes accreditation important, the ABA accredits it, is because if your law school is accredited, then that'll get you past the jumping through the hoop. It's the hoop you got to jump through is to go to an accredited law school in order to take the bar exam. Not always, but in many cases. So it's something like we learned when I was a teenager about the Underwriters Laboratory. The Underwriters Laboratory, it's a private organization that took it upon themselves to underwrite the quality of construction equipment and other kind of building craft equipment, saws and drills and all sorts of things. The Underwriters Laboratory. Well, the same thing with the ABA and same thing, American Bar Association. But is it important that you be that for a law school education that you could be accredited? Usually what accreditation came down to with law schools is you had to have a library that had all the necessary opportunities to look things up. And that meant your library had to be massive. I mean massive. Because in our common law tradition, in order to practice law, you need to have access to every case that ever came down in America, federal and state, and there are hundreds of thousands of cases, not to mention the cases going back to old England and some Australian and Canadian cases. And that was a big problem until very recently. And now that doesn't mean anything because anybody can get access for $45 a month or $100 a month. You can get access to more legal resources than you could ever get in a major university law school like Harvard or the University of Illinois. I think Harvard has the largest, it's three largest libraries in the country, or the Library of Congress. Well, this used to be 30 years ago when I was looking into it. The Library of Congress, Harvard Library, and the University of Illinois Library were the three largest libraries in the country. That didn't mean anything anymore, because I have more available to me in legal resources on my little laptop here than the University of Illinois or Minnesota or Stanford has in their whole printed volume library. So to be accredited, that's not the standard anymore. Well, what is the standard? Well, they'll say, have you got X number of professors that know what they're talking about? And who knows what else? Your bathrooms probably have to be handicap accessed and all different things that the government says. I don't know, but I do know this. It's more important that Americans understand the fundamentals of the law, the fundamentals, than it is that they learn them in an accredited law school. And that's why we teach courses at law. The name of our law school is Winters Inn. Winters Inn, you can see it at commonlawyer.com. You can see a lot of other things there, too. There are a couple of required texts when we teach courses, and I usually tell the students what those are. I just contacted a fellow the other day and asked him if he would teach legal research, because I thought, well, I could do it, but this guy works at it harder than I. And he's not a lawyer at all, but he really is good at researching. Well, let me get on to an important and, well, important and timely subject. There's a famous painting, and the name of the painting is Checkmate. Checkmate. Now, checkmate's an old Persian word that means the king is dead. That's what it means. The word mate, well, what we say mate is from the old Semitic tongue, muth. It means death. Checkmate, check, or yes, check. It's an old, not check, we've anglicized it, but it means the king is dead. And when somebody says checkmate when they're playing chess, that means it's all over but the crying. Well, this famous painting is a painting of a handsome young man on one side of the table at the chessboard and old Scratch himself on the other side of the table. And this man's playing chess with the devil himself. And in the background is an angelic-looking creature watching. And it looks like that old Scratch has got this handsome young man checkmated. The king is dead. Well, the story goes that an international chess champion was looking at this painting over in Europe in some highfalutin museum someplace. And he stared and stared and stared at it. He could see the board. And finally he exclaimed, he said, "They're wrong. It isn't checkmate." He said, the king's the most important player on the board. He said, "The king has one more move. And no matter what happens with this election, don't ever forget that whether we people admit it or not, we're still a critical mass of people in America are Christian folk. And Christianity is a religion of, it's an absolute religion if it's followed correctly. It's absolute, like the Islamicist. It's all or nothing with them. Well, Jesus Christ presents Christianity that way too. And that means God is utterly sovereign. And the truth is, he's the king, and he's always got one more move. When you think you're back up against the wall and you can't get out, just tell yourself he's got one more move. If you feel beat, the king's got one more move. And if you feel trapped, the king has one more move. And you feel like you've failed, you've lost hope, the king still has one more move. The Israelites found freedom when they left Egypt. Next thing you knew, they had their backs up against the Red Sea, and the Pharaoh's army was charging at them with swords drawn to slaughter them. But for them, the king had one more move, and then they took Daniel, and they threw him in the den of lions. No, it wasn't a lion's den. It was a den of lions, and that's a little bit different. Well, even in that case, the king had one more move. And when David, a teenage boy, picked up his sling and went after a 9.5-foot tall giant, the king still had one more move. He chopped his head off after he knocked him senseless with a rock. Chopped the giant's head off. And of course, Jesus Christ was tortured, beaten half to death, stripped naked, nailed to a post, leave him to die. And he had one more move even after he died. Of course, he's the king. He's got one more move. Let me read something to you here. This is something a fellow called me the other day. And this fellow, I won't say his name, but he ran for president. A few years back, time sure does fly, that's for certain. He ran for president, and he asked me, Brent, what do you think about this? I said, about what? He said, chapter 13. 10 U.S.C. chapter 13. I said, what is it? He said, it's about insurrection. I said, well, I haven't studied it. Well, he said, look at it. Let me read it to you. Section 252 and 253 of 10 U.S.C. says this, titled Use of Militia and Armed Forces to Enforce Federal Authority. It says, wherever or whenever the president considers that unlawful obstructions, combinations, or assemblages or rebellion against the authority of the United States make it impracticable to enforce the laws of the United States in any state by the ordinary course of judicial proceedings. Let me read that again. When the situation gets to where it's impracticable to enforce the laws of the United States in any state by the ordinary course of judicial proceedings, he may call into federal service such of the militia of any state and use such of the armed forces of the United States as he considers necessary to enforce those laws or to suppress the rebellion. Now let me read section 253. Interference with state and federal law, that's the title of section 253, says this, the president, by using the militia or the armed forces or both, or by, listen to this, or by any other means, shall take such measures as he considers necessary to suppress in a state any insurrection, domestic violence, unlawful combination, or conspiracy if, here's the conditional clause, it's pretty long, if it so hinders the execution of the laws of that state and of the United States within the state, that any part or class of its people is deprived of a right, a privilege, an immunity, or protection named in the Constitution of the United States and secured by law, and the constituted authorities of that state are unable, fail, or refuse to protect that right, privilege, or immunity, or to give that protection, or opposes or obstructs the execution of the laws of the United States, or impedes the course of justice under those laws. It ends this way: in any situation covered by Clause 1, the state shall be considered to have denied the equal protection of the laws secured by the Constitution of the United States. Now, this is to enforce a right, privilege, immunity, or protection named in the Constitution. Is voting, is the right to have your vote known and not falsified a right, privilege, or immunity named in the Constitution of the United States? Yep. Has this ever been used? Oh, yeah, it's been used. And let me read this. Whenever the president, 254, whenever the president considers it necessary to use the militia or the armed forces under this chapter, he shall by proclamation immediately order the insurgents, the people that are causing the problem, to stop. Okay. 1957, the 23rd of September, the President of the United States commanded all persons in the state of Arkansas who were obstructing the enforcement of orders of the United States District Court for the Eastern District of Arkansas relating to the enrollment and attendance of public schools, particularly Central High School at Little Rock, Arkansas, to cease and desist therefrom and to disperse forthwith. Who was President of the United States in 1957? Ike. Eisenhower ordered that under this legislation I've been reading to you. 30 September 1962, I remember some of this, commanded all persons in the state of Mississippi who were obstructing the enforcement of orders entered by the United States District Court for the Southern District of Mississippi and the United States Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit to cease and desist therefrom. There it is again. June 11, 1963, a similar order. The president sent a similar order to the governor of the state of Alabama who were obstructing the orders of the United States District Court for the Northern District of Alabama. September 10, 1963, same thing in Alabama. March 23, 1965, under this legislation, commanded all persons engaged in domestic violence, obstructing the enforcement of the laws and the judicial order approving the right to march along U.S. Highway 80 from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama, ordered them to stop, cease, and desist under this legislation under threat of bringing in the militia of the state or the armed forces of the United States and enforcing the order. April 9, 1968, commanded all persons engaged in acts of violence threatening Washington, D.C. metropolitan area to cease and desist, or we're going to bring in the guns. 1968, same thing happened in Chicago. Same thing happened in the city of Baltimore. By the way, in Baltimore, in that particular instance, race riots, they were burning down the whole blasted city. The police department did nothing. The sheriff's office did nothing. The shop owners that lost their businesses got together and sued the city. The case went all the way up to the appellate courts, and the final order said the guilt or the city had to pay the shop owners for their loss because the city couldn't get the they argued they couldn't get the police department to do anything, and the court said, well, then you should have ordered the mobilization of the militia and stopped the violence. Ordered the mobilization, therefore, you're guilty, and you got to pay these shop owners for their businesses. Have we lost our kahunas? What are we thinking? Well, here's the legislation. I don't know what DJ Trump's going to do, but it's clear to me that the whole procedure we call voting for President of the United States has been thwarted overtly with a high hand. They bragged before they were going to do it. Biden said they had the most extensive system of fraud ever in the United States in place, voter fraud. And they did it. And the President of the United States has just as much responsibility as the courts, if not more so, to do something about it. The hard thing is, I suppose, it looks like he's self-serving, but that shouldn't be a consideration to him, and he shouldn't care. He's the chief law enforcement of the country. If he doesn't do this, no one else will. He'll be criticized for it. He'll be hated for it by a whole lot of people. I don't like the idea of it, but it's been done before. And what has happened? Let me finish this sentence. What has happened in the United States now? I say this with all due respect, but it's even more important. The evil that has happened now than the evil that was happening during the civil rights movement in Arkansas and Mississippi, because this goes to even further to the heart of who we are. Somebody said, Brent, it's time to stop. Is that what I heard? I didn't catch that. Gerard, are you there? Yes, nobody is.
No, Brent, no one said that to you. Someone's mic came open. So
okay.
Yes, I don't know how that happened, but something was in their background, so I don't know.
That's okay.
Go right ahead.
That's normal. All right. Well, I just want to point out, in case DJ Trump is listening, that he's got legal cover and he has a responsibility. If he doesn't do this, we still remember the king has one more move. I don't know what it is, but I know that he majors on operating at the 11th hour and the 59th minute, and he never fails. Back to you, John or Gerard. Thank you so much for the time.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to just comment myself. Yeah, I don't think, there's no way Trump is going to leave office and allow this to stand. I mean, my heart and my mind is clear that he's going to do something. Why do all the work he did to save this nation? And he's been talking about this since going back into the 70s and the 80s. Well, mainly the 80s, I think, or maybe late 70s, but whatever. He's been going back quite a few years talking about the problems of this nation. And it is pretty clear he's not going to allow this to happen. And you're right, he's the only one that could do it at this point. If he leaves office and goes, I'll tell you what they're going to do. They're going to prosecute him. They're going to put him at the end of the rope, and they're going to kill his entire family. And when the guns are all gone, we don't have our weapons anymore, they're coming out after us. And like he said, you know, they're not after me. I'm just in the way. And he's not going to allow it. And he said, as long as in his presidency, he will not permit Marxism or any of these other isms to take control of this United States and destroy it. So the plan is clear. And as Q said, nothing can stop what's coming. Nothing. So it's about to happen, no doubt. Okay, Gerard, you here? You want to take the board here? Or you got control of the board. You want to take questions? Gerard?
I didn't realize I was muted.
Okay.
I was muted. All right.
Anyway, star 6 and a 1. Anybody wants to get into the queue? There was quite a few people. Now there's only 2. So 2 people in the queue. You want to get into the queue, star 6 and a 1. Gerard, you got it.
Okay. Barbara, been unmuted. Where are you from?
Hi, thank you. I'm from New York. This is Barbara.
Okay.
I just want to get an understanding of the Operation Warp Speed. I just seems like a lot of people don't understand that the vaccine is toxic. A lot of people are going to get hurt, and I just don't know. I don't understand why it's got to be this way. Do you have an insight into it?
Well, the vaccine is horrible, terrible, weird science. And it's insidious, and what they've been doing is very insidious. I don't know if Trump understands what the process was that they made this thing, that they had no animal testing at all, and that they skipped all the testing. And basically, it's designed to take a piece of your DNA out and it modifies your DNA. And I've also heard that when they go up the nose and do that test, that they're putting that vaccine in you on the base of the skull, on that plate, which is a very thin bone between the brain and the nasal passages, and that's why they do it. See, if you have COVID, it's in your saliva. It's not in your sinuses. They uh-huh. should just swab the mouth. Why are they going up the back of the nose? Going up in the back uh-huh. of the nose because they're giving people, they're already vaccinating people with that vaccine, which has nanotechnology in it, nanobots in it. And what happens is you're no longer human when that stuff happens. You become part machine because they got these bots that assemble themselves in your system that they can control with radio waves with the 5G.
So, you mean the COVID test?
The COVID test is actually vaccinating you, is what I heard.
With COVID vax? Really?
Yep. So they've been giving people this for a long time. I would not get a test, and I would not take a vaccination. Now, I think Trump knows that this vaccination is going to kill people, and he keeps saying, "No, you don't have to take it if you don't want to," and they got these therapeutics and stuff. First of all, there is no such thing as COVID anyway. They've never proved it. They've never grown it. They've never identified it. This is the biggest scam that they put on man in a long time, you know. And, of course, you know, it's Bill Gates and Fauci. They're all part of that New World Order thing. So I don't know, you know, I wouldn't take any of it. I wouldn't take the test. I wouldn't take the vaccine. I know.
I want to understand why Trump has to do this, and also, isn't he liable for harming a lot of people?
Oh, absolutely. Of course, they're not answerable because they signed that thing that says that they can put vaccines in, and you can't sue them, that they have immunity.
Yeah, but under common law, they could be sued. I know Gerard's done a lot of research in this, and all these things exist, and I don't know how much of this actually exists in the one, because I understand there's a few companies working on this, and they're coming from different sources, and I know the testing, but I don't know. Wouldn't you think that Trump's got a better grip on what's going to go inside these quote-unquote vaccines that that he would prevent a lot of these things from happening? Because, again, he's not an ignorant guy.
I keep waiting for him to drop the hammer.
Hammer is coming, no doubt about that.
No, I mean the hammer on the whole COVID fraud and the vaccine.
Well, that's going to come with everything else. It's going to all be exposed at some point. It's just a piece of a big story, and the big story is called treason or subversion.
I think yesterday they asked him about it. He goes, I took this medicine and I got better and I didn't need no vaccination. So he's kind of laying the groundwork, maybe, you know. Somebody has to come out, and he can't do it himself. He's got to have some expert, and many, many experts have already spoke on it. Many doctors and epidemiologists and stuff have already come out.
Yeah, and again, like anything else, you know, we've been in this... you know, I don't want to call this sovereign citizen movement, but, you know, look at trying to figure things out, trying to figure the law, trying to get our rights, appreciated by the government and so on. And we've been connected to many different groups over the past. We've had a long journey from one point to another. And look at the enemy's got their fingers in everything. Even all of the liberty groups. I mean, they tried very hard to get their fingers into us. We've already met with the enemy by phone anyway, wanting to participate with us and give us money, offering us large sums of money. We refused it all because we understood who they were, where they were coming from. They infiltrate. They're parasites. They infiltrate everything, and they take anything that's good and they destroy it.
Yeah,
and then whatever we're doing, they tweak it here and they tweak it there. An enemy comes in and says this, or an ignorant person comes in and says that, and they amplify that. And next thing you know, people, like in the sovereign citizen movement, they're going to get rid of the Social Security cards, they're getting rid of the driver's license, they're claiming they're not a citizen, and they go on and on and on. But remember one thing, you know, if you take away your citizenship, the United States could deport you. You'll be an individual, a man or a woman, without a country. And we've seen movies on that kind of thing. I mean, who knows what you would do then. But, again, the enemy's got their fingers in everything. There was so much garbage stuck into truth that we were uncovering, and we had to filter it out, and you filter it out with more truth and research. We've learned not to accept anything, per se, just on the surface. We have to find the source. We have to trace it back to the original source and make sure it's within the foundation of natural law and our heritage and what we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance. And with these vaccines, there's so much things going on, so much evil going on. Who could know it all? So, but I think Trump has a handle on it to some degree. I think he must have been watching this. I mean, I can't believe he's going to allow poison to go out into the people. So at least whatever, you know, but there are other people pushing other vaccines. The pharmaceutical companies are pushing vaccines. So you may get the one that, yeah, has been approved, but then they had all kinds of other stuff coming from another, you know, supply line. So I don't know enough, and I can't follow enough. I know Gerard follows a lot more than I do, listens to a lot of these doctors talk about this stuff. So, but it is very confusing.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there's only so much a president can do. Maybe he feels he's got to do it because, I mean, you know.
And that being said, you would think anything he has a control on would make sure that nothing really bad gets into it, at least for whatever supply lines he's bringing it through. But remember, there's other supply lines bringing this out, and who knows what might be inserted in that. I understand one of the biggest problems, and I could be corrected if I'm wrong here, because again, my knowledge is not here, that mercury has been a major problem in these things. So you have a little bit of mercury, and every time you get this shot, you're putting more mercury into your system, and mercury is not good in the human body. So, yeah. Again, you know, I remember having an argument or a debate with my daughter's doctor when she was very young, and I said, no, I don't want her to have that because, you know, he denied it. Yeah, no way. Anyway, I said, well, you look into it. Next time I see you, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Next time I saw him, okay, he said, you're right, they do have mercury, but it's so little. I said, I don't care what it is.
Oh,
you
God.
Build this up. That ain't coming out of your system anyway.
Oh,
you know? But doctors, they are programmed just like lawyers. They are programmed. Yeah, they're pharmaceutically thinking. The pharmaceuticals could control their education, all of the supplies and the medicines that they get, if you want to call it medicines. It's nothing but destruction. And, you know, you got the bar attorneys, the same thing. They're bringing in uncommon law. They're bringing in, civil law, which is municipality law, which is destructive and controlling of the people. We have to get rid of the bar. We have to get rid of these pharmaceutical companies. You know, I understand from the little bit I know, going back into the turn of coming into the 20th century, the early 1900s, that there were two avenues moving forward of medicine, one more towards a natural focus and another one going towards... What they have is all these poisons and synthetics and stuff.
Right.
And then pursuing, trying to beat cancer by giving people radiation, which was back in those days totally thought as insane when they understood the dangers of it.
Right.
You know?
People did much less in terms of, I mean, they didn't need this institutional huge bureaucracy to keep themselves healthy. And apparently they were healthier. Around 1900,
the whole reason the AMA was started was to beat down the homeopaths, who were the only ones that were having any luck during the pandemics. They saw the writing on the wall, and they formed a group, and they took over basically.
Right.
And the homeopaths didn't want to be involved with them and stuff to their demise.
They took control of Congress. That's how they did it.
Yeah, and so that led us off into this Newtonian type, of medicine.
One of the strongest controls of against cancer, for instance, is Laetril, which is vitamin B17, and they've made that unlawful to sell in the United States.
But, I had a nurse practitioner tell me, because I'm always preaching, when I was in the hospital, and he said, "Oh, that vaccine's got less mercury than a can of tuna." I said, "Really?" I said, "So here's a little infant baby." I said, if you fed him that can of tuna, the tuna would kill him. Just the tuna, never mind the mercury. I said, "So you distill out whatever mercury's in that can of tuna, and you put it into the baby. Does that make sense?"
Right, they can't process it. Yeah.
And then they have another can of tuna.
Mercury is a cumulative heavy metal in the body. The CDC or one of them that says the amounts of poisons that you can have acceptable levels, right? They now say that no amount of mercury is healthy because it's cumulative.
Yeah.
So why are they putting it in vaccines for little infants and then giving them how many shots before they're even?
Yeah, I heard an amazing number of shots children get these days.
Also, there's a big difference between it going through your gut and having it shot into your bloodstream.
That's another problem. You know, when you take antibiotics, it destroys the flora in your stomach, and people don't even know to replace it. I remember talking with a doctor not too long ago, maybe a couple of years ago, concerning all of the antibiotics that my daughter had to take when she was ill, and she had a blood poisoning. And she was hospitalized for 2 weeks, and then we had to do intravenous on her for, drops for 3 months. But her flora was totally depleted. I said, "What are you guys going to do for that? You don't give a prescription to, I went out and bought the probiotics, but, replace it. But they just ignore that problem. They're aware of it, but they ignore it.
Well, they do. They are starting to prescribe stuff for that. They're gradually coming around, but there's so many other insidious things with vaccinations. Like you said, the fact that it's going directly into the bloodstream. When they had this Gulf War syndrome with the vets, because they're always experimenting on the soldiers, because they think they own them. And they came out with these new vaccines, and they added squalene to them as an adjunct. Now, squalene is an oil, It's not, you know, it's a natural substance, but when you inject it into the bloodstream, the body sees it as an invader. And so it kicks up an immune response. Uh-huh. That's why, see, when they let's say they put in some, I don't know, tuberculosis, and they can't give you tuberculosis, they have to give you a weakened form of the virus. And what happens is it's so weak that the body might not see it, and it might not make an immune response, and it might not make antibodies.
Right.
So they add the squalene, which is a type of oil, and actually it turns out that the nerve sheets are made out of squalene in the body. So when they put squalene in a vaccination and stick it in your blood, you know, and what happens is the body sees the squalene and it makes antibodies against squalene, and then what happens is it starts attacking your own nerve sheets, and it causes all kinds of problems like MS and all this stuff. Because it's setting up an autoimmune disease. And I had a doctor tell me, he said, oh, squalene's natural. It's, you know, it's like olive oil. It's like this. You know, it's found in the nerve sheets. I said, yeah, you know what? I said, steak is natural too, but I don't chop it up and put it in a needle and shoot it in my veins because it would kill me. I eat it.
You know, there's two things going on with vaccines. One is the horrible load of toxins that are the adjuvants that are supposed to give you a reaction. And the other thing is that it takes the process of immunity, which is beautifully orchestrated. It truncates it. Instead of getting the disease and having a lifetime of immunity, which for a woman will pass to her baby, it truncates it. It also makes it specific so that instead of getting an immunity to the entire class of the disease, you're only having an immunity to one very specific variety of it. So it takes the entire process of immunity and weakens it on two counts. So you've got the process ruined and you have all those adjuvants. So it's just a lose-lose, and doctors don't even know it. They don't even look into it, or maybe they're just, you know, saying they. I read there was a Medicare.
Yeah, they're trained
online.
With blinders to begin with, and they have to follow the status quo of their whatever it is. In this case, of course, we're talking about doctors, and I try to talk to lots of doctors. That, you know, it's like they look at me like the eyes of a deer caught in the headlights. They just don't go anywhere. But they're not interested either. I've given them literature, and next time I see them and talk to them about it, they don't remember I gave them literature on different things because I think concerning my health, you know, what I'm doing and what I'm taking. You know,
they don't even look into it. You know,
well, again, they're highly educated to some degree they're pompous. They know more than you, and because after all, they paid a lot of money for their heavy education. And this is true with all of these different things. You know, especially lawyers and doctors. And look at these are two of the most important, controls of of the elite. I mean, there are many things, but as far as many things they want to control, but some of the most important things controlling the political realms, which is law, and it deals with law and the lawyers. And then you've got the big money maker, which is illnesses. They don't want to cure anybody. They just want to treat the symptoms and to give you all this garbage. It's only going to make you sicker over long term. Any of these pharmaceuticals, doesn't matter what it is, after a period of time, it destroys your body one way or another. If you have a problem and they want to thin your blood out, you don't need to go through any of those pharmaceuticals. There's natural ways. There's vitamins that'll do it for you. You know, if you have problems with cholesterol, there's lots of natural things that you could take to reduce the cholesterol, and they go to ridiculous extremes of trying to reduce cholesterol. Maybe you need that cholesterol to maintain the integrity of your vascular walls, because I understand. I know Gerard looked into this. He was talking to me about it. That you have to have that if you get a weakened artery or something.
It's inflammation.
The body is that what it is?
It's inflammation.
Explain that,
the
how
artery,
the body
the artery actually become
it.
Inflamed, and especially where there's turns and the blood's going, it starts wearing on them. Well, when there's things in the blood, when they see that, they pack cholesterol in there to keep it from getting a blowout. So then that cholesterol builds up, and when a piece breaks off and it goes into the brain, people have a stroke. Well, they go in there and they do an autopsy. They go, oh, look, bad cholesterol, bad, bad. And they give you something to lower your cholesterol. Meanwhile, the cholesterol was there because the arteries were inflamed. So they're going after the symptom instead of the cause.
Oh,
in other words,
okay.
That was the repair. And
oh,
they're going,
okay.
Bad repair. Instead, they should be cutting out the inflammation.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, a lot of the processed foods we eat today cause that inflammation, but they're not going to tell you that. You know, and the worst thing is when they give you these cholesterol-lowering drugs, and they end up destroying the muscles of the body. My father took it, and he ended up in a wheelchair. He had a reaction, and it ruined his legs and his leg muscles. It was permanent.
And you think the doctor really didn't know?
No, they don't know.
Yeah.
They have no idea.
And nobody can know a lot of these things because you take one medication, one pharmaceutical, then you take another one, and they have no clue on the reaction between the two. Then you take another one. I mean,
they've never even tested them against each other. So they have no. When they give you three medicines, they have no idea how those three medicines interact with each other.
You know, I was reading online, there was this Medicare book for people involved in nursing homes, for the people working there, and it said if you do not give the COVID vaccine under these conditions, you will be charged $1,000 per person. And I'm thinking the financial incentives and punishments are so high.
Yeah, we're boxed into everything. They box us in. Look at even the, you know what? I hope all of the social media stuff falls apart and never comes back. It's destructive to the minds of our children and to ourselves. It takes us away into stupid land, in my opinion. People spend all day, you go into a Dunkin' Donuts or something like that where people used to sit and have a cup of coffee and a conversation. You see a table full of people, and no one's talking to each other. They're all on their phones. They're texting away, and it's ridiculous. It's destructive.
Mm-hmm.
It makes us non-thinkers, and it keeps us in the conversation of just stupidity, in my opinion. I mean, it's good to have a text here or there for something, but it's ridiculous.
Maybe they're talking to each other at the table. Maybe they're texting.
Maybe they don't even know it because they have screen names, you know.
Well, listen, there it really does pay to educate yourself, and it's all out there if you look for it. Ollie's got the channel videosanctuary.com. And if you go in there and click on COVID, and you'll see there's lines of videos. Watch the Dr. Andrew Kaufman video. What a good job he does explaining what the problem is with this vaccine and how they came up with it. Very excellent. And he has such a resume. It's unbelievable. I mean, I can't believe how many prestigious and very well-written and well-studied experts are that have come out against us. There's enough information.
Yes, a lot.
By the way, we have other people in the queue, just to remind you.
Right. They should just, they should just declare it a scam. But, yeah, it pays to educate yourself so you know. The doctors don't know. I mean, when I hear somebody go, that's got less mercury than a can of tuna. That was designed to take somebody and disarm them, and meanwhile, it's a horrible statement. You know what I mean? It's got less mercury than a can of tuna. And so you're going to take the mercury out of a can of tuna and you're going to stick it in my infant? That's a heavy metal cumulative in the body.
And a newborn doesn't eat a can of tuna. He doesn't do that.
No,
right?
It doesn't. It doesn't make just eating the tuna would kill him.
Yes.
Never mind the mercury. Yeah. The tuna itself would kill him, the protein. But, that's a statement that they came out with to try to make, tuna, can of tuna. I eat cans of tuna all the time. They don't bother me. That's a stupid, stupid statement.
Yeah.
And you're putting in this heavy metal that now you're not supposed to have any. Never mind so many parts per million. You should not have any in your body because it never goes away. I mean, you need some serious chelation to get rid of that stuff. Which
right.
is and chelation, even though it gets rid of it, it's not so gentle on the body. That process in itself is hard. The chelation.
Yeah.
Because you got to be careful because you're stirring stuff up. And you got to make sure you're carrying it out. You can poison yourself. I knew a guy that worked on farms, and before they really realized how bad DDT was, he was spraying it and touching it with his hands and this and that. And he ended up being a very heavy guy. He was well over 400 pounds at one point. And the doctor told him, he said, if you get sick, he said, and you start losing weight, he said, you're going to die because that DDT is stored in your fat.
Oh.
And so he said, you have to lose weight very, very slowly. He said, because it's all in your system. And he did lose all the weight. He did get rid of it. It scared him enough, and he did it. So I don't know who his doctor was, but he was very smart, you know, and he took care of him.
Yeah.
We got to move on. We got more people in the queue.
All right, thanks a lot.
And if anybody else wants to get into the queue, *6 and 1. Thanks for the call. Good.
Thank you.
Yeah. We got David from North Carolina. Go ahead, David. What do you got?
All right, I was just checking to see if y'all received the paperwork I sent you. I sent it to John and Jan and Brent.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Unless I'm looking for it and have the time to look into it, because there's not enough hours in the day for me to do all the work that I do. And my email, forget about it. The other day, I must have spent 20 minutes just going through the email and trying to figure out what am I going to respond to or I have to look at and read. And I'm sure I click away a lot of stuff, but it's very difficult. So what kind of case is it? I mean, we can't get too involved in a case because we got so many things going on here, you know, but we do joinders and, you know, so you can join cases. But what kind of case?
Well,
the paperwork. What's the paperwork about? Let's put it that way.
The paperwork's about fraud. It's Pacific Performance. I had some people steal some property from me, and all the documents that I sent you are self-explanatory. It'll be easy to understand whenever you get around to looking at it.
Yeah, if I can, you know, I mean, literally get stacks and stacks of paper that people send me, and I just can't find the time to read through it and then try to assist or help in a particular case. But we did form a process where people can join their cases to our cases, but we've got to keep it simple and focused. And we focus in mostly on the fact, you know, a lot of court cases particularly, and we look at jurisdiction, fact that these courts don't have jurisdiction and that there's lax due process, that people are hijacked into jurisdictions unknown. So we focus on that, really, which could solve the whole problem, because if you shut down the court and seek damages through a higher court, if you can get through that process, and occasionally you can, then you know, it doesn't matter on the details of the problem, but you have to be restored back to your original state. Which is what the wherefore clause usually ends up being, that and cease and desist that particular illegal or unlawful, you know, court process that's going on with damages. So, but, you know, it's very, very minimum.
I've been at it a whole long time trying to share with people what I had learned. I think way back in 71 or 72, a rock star called Pink Floyd came out with a tune, and the name of it was Money, It's a Crime.
Yep. Yeah, Pink Floyd.
Money!
Like Pink Floyd.
Yeah, I remember that song.
Yeah, their older stuff, their original stuff, where they lost the main writer and creator of that group, you know, he went insane, actually. But it was after he had left that, in my opinion, because it became a more focused, group on subject matters. And, Money was a good one.
Yes, it was. And just, you know, as time went on, I learned other things about it, and then I started learning about the Federal Reserve and on and on and on, and now here we are. We know all of this stuff, and there's millions of people that doesn't know it, and that seems to be the problem, because they just think you're, you know, off track when you start talking about.
Well, all of those things are going to be solved on the other side. The other side being that the cancer is cut out, the deep state is being tried, and insanity comes back to the nation, and the people step up and take control. That's what has to happen. The answer to all of our problems is learn about your heritage, learn and understand the processes of our law and our political processes, and then exercise your authorities and powers through those two particular power structures. And we then can solve every problem, every single problem. And we need to get rid of parties. And I just recently heard some people talking about the importance of having that two-party system. And no, that two-party system is just putting one side against the other. There's nothing for these people to discuss, to get in. Look, they need to just get in there and do their job. They don't need to be tinkering around trying to put more legislation to change things and more control on us, because that's all that the two-party system is going to accomplish. They press legislation and trying to, it's one side getting more power and over the other side, and then the other side comes in, and before you know it, you got all this crap in there, and that's why we are in a statutory prison. We are in a statutory prison. Don't do this. Don't do that. You can't do this without this license, this permit, that. This is what parties created. There's no debate on that. You don't need some kind of a license or a permit to exercise a right. That, of course, that's only the beginning of destruction of that right to begin with.
I agree with you.
So, you know, again, you know, we better get ourselves together and take control, as Trump is trying to give it back to us. Like he said, I was not elected to take power, but to give it back or give it to the people where it belongs. And we need to take that power. And National Liberty Alliance is teaching the people to take that power. But we need more people. We need more involvement. We need people to get educated and involved in these things on their grassroots level, and work on the national level to really push that even further throughout the entire nation, and to work together and educate ourselves together. That's what has to happen. Otherwise,
I'll tell you, Donald Trump did a really great executive order on education. You've got to read it.
When did he do that?
Well, recently.
Get a copy of that to me. Definitely we have to really push that.
So good. And he didn't leave anything out. And he talks about how they're teaching children to hate the United States, and how they're supposed to be teaching, you know, them our heritage. And I mean, he talks about all the subversion that's going on in the schools, and he set up this panel for that's going to be on he gives a charter every 2 years. It gets examined again, but
we got to get in there our proper education, and hopefully
you go read that executive order. He did a fantastic job.
Well, get me a copy on that if you can. Yeah. Drop it into my file depot or in Skype here or something. You know, I'm working on I think this is so important, and I'm making a list of individuals we need to get this to. But I'm doing an information focused at the president particularly, but also to a lot of people, the good people in Congress and the Senate that are really working to get rid of this deep state, and other people of voice, you know, that's got the ability to bring forth the narratives. They got some say and a lot of following. And it's on the difference between the Republican and the Democrats, democracy. Republic versus democracy. And again, as I mentioned earlier, stop calling us a democracy. That's destructive, and it takes us away from who and what we are. Focus us toward the law, the republic, natural law republic, the only one in the world. There is none other.
Makes sense to me, and I know that's right, too.
Yep. So anyway, we're going to move on.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Anybody else wants to get in the queue? We got one person left in the queue, star 6 and a 1, if you want to get in the queue.
Okay, thank you, David. Okay, Dennis from Pennsylvania, you've been unmuted.
Hey, good evening. Good evening. The reason I called was a friend of mine just brought to my attention just yesterday about a group called the Black Robe Regiment. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it.
You know, that's familiar. Haven't we heard about that in the past?
Yeah, we have. I don't remember.
I'm trying to remember whether they were good or bad, but I don't know. I just,
okay, it's been reconstituted apparently in the last couple of years, and it harkens back to the Revolution, where the Black Robes, or the preachers and pastors, led their congregation in the fight for liberty and for freedom. So they were, as you know, the church was a big part of the whole game.
Yeah, yeah, that's what the French philosopher said. He said the power of America wasn't in its amber waves of grain and its big ports and stuff. He said the reason that America was successful is that its pulpits were on fire with one nation under God.
And that's because we are a Christian nation. And anybody chokes on that, they got to go reevaluate their thinking, because without a Christian base, which is what we are, and our founding fathers, we did a paper on this also, it's unbelievable the amount of quotes our founding fathers said concerning the relationship between our political process and our judicial process and Christianity. And you cannot have common law, you can't have nature's God, without the Bible. The Bible, and that was the core of education in our nation for the first 100 years. It was the Bible that was used in school to learn to read, to learn English, and so on, out of the Bible.
Well, we absolutely have the base, John, and I pray that we get back to that, because in recent years I've wondered, you know, I said, I'm not sure we're still a Christian nation.
If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land and I will forgive their sins. Look, I see a movement of people that are ready to accept back, come back and accept. When I was a child, you know, growing up in America, Christ was in Christmas. I remember the Xmas coming around and I was like, what is that? You know, and people talking about it. They were trying to X Christ out of Christmas. And
yeah,
religion has to be, to get the isms going, you have to get rid of God. You've got to get rid of religion. You've got to destroy the moral fabric of America in order to take control with one of the isms, you know, Marxism, Nazism, communism, and so on. Without natural law, without God, there is no natural law. And our rights come from God, and the principles and everything we are as a people come from the Bible. It goes, we are created, our whole structure goes back to 1400 BC, and the structure of Israel through Moses, going back into, you know, the books of the first five books of the Bible. And that's the structure of our nation. That's where we get who we are as a people. Jefferson and Franklin, and I think Adams, I forget the third person, they were given the job to go out and find the symbol for America, you know, the seal, the American seal. Jefferson came up with the idea of Israel fleeing Egypt and being separated by the fires, separating them from the Egyptians and Israel as they were coming up to the Red Sea. And that's what he had a picture of. Matter of fact, we have it in our... one of our PowerPoints, we talk about it. And that was what was the seal of America that Jefferson wanted. And he had on the other side two of the individuals from the North, the Germanic tribes that brought the common law, which he thought, and many others thought, were one of the lost tribes of Israel, because they had the Bible, or the principles of the Bible, without having the Bible. And that's why when they came to Britain, they connected so well, because the Bible was in Britain, and in Britain, early part. And that's why they connected so well, and common law flourished, or was beginning to flourish back then. Franklin's idea of the Great Seal was Moses holding up, his staff and parting the Red Sea, and the people escaping Egypt, and Egypt being swallowed up by the waters. So tell me not, we're not a Christian nation. Tell me we're not a Judeo-Christian nation, because we have the Bible and the principles of common law. A lot of the maxims come right out of the Bible.
I'm very encouraged, John, but I couldn't help but think that in recent years. But it's only because of what's happened recently and the prayer march on Washington and the Spirit of the Lord moving across the land.
There is a patriotic movement in this nation, God and country, and it's pretty strong. And we need to seize the opportunity to teach the people about these principles. Look, you can't study common law without going into the Bible. It's just not possible. Forget about it. Our whole structure as a people, you cannot see who we are. Our heritage comes, you know, from the fact that God gave us the authority and the power over self-governance, and goes right back into the garden. I forget the word. What was it? Not seize, but I'll use that word to seize control. And a Declaration of Independence, that is a covenant with God. We want to live under His law, and in that we receive the blessings. But look, I see a movement towards that. People are responding. They're not choking on God as much as they did in the past.
What the preachers have to do is they got to get out of the 501(c).
The preachers. Let us be.
Bingo.
Well, that's right. But this tax exempt foundation is baloney. It's designed to control what they preach.
Right, and it all started back with the Johnson Amendment, right?
Right, exactly.
In the beginning of our programs, let me just make this final note. In the beginning of our programs, when we start, we always start off with the song. And if you listen, and I always put the lyrics up, and the focus of the whole thing is really, you know, to bring us back to God, the relationship, the mind, your relationship with God in your own mind. That's what a lot of these songs are all about, if you go through the lyrics. And those lyrics are available on our welcome page. If anybody wants to read them and look at them again, not our welcome page, I mean, you got to go to our weekly call page. And down below, we have a list of all the songs we've been playing. Matter of fact, I'm showing you on the browser right now for anybody looking at the browser. Down below, we have all of the calls that we've had. We have all the songs that we've been playing, and there's more to come. But these are a lot of the songs, and you can open them up and read the words. The other thing we did, you know, instead of a prayer, I think edification is better served by just reading the Bible. And that's why we read a chapter every Monday night, which only takes 3 or 4 minutes, so it's not a lot of your time. But the blessings to be received from that is just huge, you know.
Absolutely. And, by hearing the Word.
And hearing from the Word of God. Amen. So there it is, you know, and we should be building ourselves morally.
Right. Well, my main point was that when I heard about this Black Robe Regiment being reconstituted, I thought, hey, there's a potential suitor for the National Liberty Alliance. So I know we're looking for people to join us, and possibly we could partnership with a group like that.
Absolutely. If we can work out and be compared, you know, they're not destructive to what our positions are and vice versa. Absolutely. You know, we're working with We the People, Robert Schultz, to set up what he's doing, and we're also working with an individual who put together the Republic Review. And any group, as long as we can be compatible with our position, God and country, what our heritage is, and going back into, you know, the founding of our nation, where we come from, as long as we can harmonize there, we can work together.
Great, great. Black Robe Regiment.org.
All right, we'll check that out. Gerard, you want to check that out and let me know what you think?
Yeah, sure.
And just one more. I was very surprised, Gerard, to hear you say that the test for COVID delivers a vaccine. So my question is, what about all these people who are going to work, the healthcare workers or the ball players and so forth, who are being tested virtually every day?
That's crazy.
What effect does this test have on those people? Now, I'm very surprised to hear this. I didn't have any clue about this.
Yeah, well, you know, they're just like everything else they do. They're so insidious. And it's putting the vaccine in you, which is DNA altering. You know, it's a vaccine that we've never had before, ever. And you're going to see lots of death from it is what's going to happen. And you're going to see sterilization and all this other stuff that's going to go. I mean, people eventually won't take it, but they're going to, the damage will be done. It'll be too late. By the time people wake up, they're already going to have the whole population done. You know, there's going to be very few people that don't get it, probably.
Just a quick note. We've got two people left and 3 minutes left. So we'll go a little over time.
All right. I yield. Both of them in.
Yep.
I yield. Thank you, gentlemen.
Right. Good. Thanks for the call.
Robert from Michigan. Go ahead.
Hi, John. Gerard.
Hey, Robert. How you doing?
All righty.
Hey, we should connect and talk about where we're at and what we're doing, you know, with the sheriff's movement. So, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, sorry about that, but I gave you guys a little deal. It's a little video. I also sent it to Ollie and told him to archive it because Facebook will be after it. It went on yesterday at Hastings, Michigan, at the courthouse, in which there's a young group formed. It's a year old, and these guys, it's two people, Joel Iverson, who I'm trying to get into NALA. I think he might come in. I hope he does. And another young gentleman. They're both of Constitution and Bible. And quite an amazing assortment of people gave a public address on the courthouse steps. And also there was I believe she's a prosecuting attorney out of Berry County. At least she is a bar attorney. And she is coupled up with the Constitution of Michigan and some federal districts, courts. And what she has done is what I call a dual presentation, common law and admiralty, but remaining in common law with the Constitution or in the Michigan Constitution, which is stated common law slash civil, meaning admiralty. And it's very interesting. She gave a stirring speech. The sheriff of Berry County, Darlee, which you guys know, most people, you know, in the group has heard him one time or another. And he got himself a plaque. Well, it was paper. It's a proclamation. And very well deserved. And these guys are somebody to kind of watch because I'm quite sure they're contagious. They're young, they're aggressive, they're to the point. And the one person, Joel, I know has been involved in some school bond issues, and he just simply asked, where's the money gone? And he won't get off from it. It's very interesting what has happened in a couple of his cases. And I think you guys get a chance, take a look at it. I think you'll find it very informative. And it has some points in there where we might want to consider as a group to look at. I personally put it on my email.
And this isn't
tonight.
A video, Robert?
Yes, it's a video. Yes,
and you sent. Where did you send it to? Did you send it to us?
I sent it to each one of you, and I also sent it to Ollie. And I told Ollie, you better get it into the sanctuary, because
you
Facebook
sent it by email.
Take this thing. I sent it to you guys on Skype, and
okay,
I sent
I'll look
it out
my Skype
over
then.
My.
Okay.
I sent it out over my email list, about 3,000 people.
Yeah, I'll take a look. You know, see if, you know, I know Sheriff Dar was going to work on a letter introducing, you know, the book to the sheriffs. So maybe you could talk to him about it because I think we're coming close.
I would do that, yeah.
And we should get together and talk a little more, see how things are going and maybe what we can do to help organize and keep things moving along.
Okay. Glad you brought it up. Glad you brought that up. I'm working in.
And I know he wanted to do some indictments and stuff, and he's holding himself back, which I think was wise on where he was going with that.
It is.
But I'd like to see what he's thinking now at this point, and where that's at. And while we're on the subject of trying to work things out with sheriffs and stuff, it's the people that we need to connect. So let me just make the point here again. You get involved with our, you know, our movement towards constitutional sheriffs. Click on the links on our web pages, and let's get a book to your sheriff. And we'll send it out with a letter to Sheriff Dahl. We'll be writing a letter probably, or a group of sheriffs. The more sheriff signatures on it, the better, you know. So
I understand. And so, let me add this, if I may, John. I'm working with five counties now, people in five counties, and the subject matter is Bible, Constitution.
There you go.
The sheriffs, the militia, the committee men, and the
administrations for the grand jury and trial juries?
All that, plus the, when he owned property under a patent.
Oh,
Alloydal.
Yep. And also the...
And again, once we get on the other side, we're going to fix that. Property belongs to the people. And if you tax that property over and over and over again, then people don't really own it.
Well, I tell you, John, I'm the only guy in Michigan that has LPU, land patent update, on my property description. Not once, not twice, but three times. And there's a way to force them to put it on there. I've done that. I'm in process of getting close. In my next filing, or next two filings, I will not be paying taxes on my Allodium private property. I've got it that far.
Right.
I'm in writing the documents now.
Well, you know, we should talk a little bit about that maybe, and maybe get a copy of that so we can go through it, maybe even help assist maybe with some ideas, but get it out to other people who could do the same thing. You know, and again, you know, the move has got to be eventually, without even having to do this, people buy property, they own it, that's theirs.
Right. Well, it's going to take a lot of effort to get it back there. You know that as well as I do.
Well, again, once we get on, look, if we get just courts, if we get just courts, that's what our focus is to get a court to become just. And once we get the, and let me tell you, the United States Supreme Court is not a just court. They are so far off base in many things.
Amen.
And we need to fix that. You know, they work for us. We don't work for them. We will tell them what the law is. Right? They don't tell us.
But
remember, once we get on the other side. Once we get on the other side, this will become very simple because we'll have courts of justice and we will enforce the justice.
I understand. But the point being is the main obstacle, well, there's several of them, but in my view, what has led to the downfall of all this is the bar. Period.
Absolutely. The
end of conversation.
They are the destroyers of this nation. They are the minions of the New World Order. Without the Bar Association, they would not be controlling our political and judicial processes. They would not be controlling our law, which is unlawful. We would not be in a statutory prison. We would not be dealing with it, because this problem stems right down, starts with the United States Supreme Court back in 1934, and before that, but that's when they really destroyed everything, in 1934, with the Rules Enabling Act with legislation, and executed in 1938. And with that, they have destroyed everything. They've removed our common law courts. They've gotten rid of the rules of the common law. They've gotten rid of our heritage. They've turned us into a democracy. It goes on and on and on. They've infiltrated us in every single area. Every institution is controlled. Every corporation goes right into it. And when you get into court, they maintain the status quo and protect all these corporations and these different agencies that are destructive just to the human being alone, to the spirit of humanity, but destructive to the American people. We need to fix that problem. We need to eradicate them. We need to get rid of bar attorneys. They need to go to re-education camps.
They need to have their pockets picked clean of any source.
And thrown behind bars for a while, too.
Well, that'd be good. They'd look good with a vertical tan.
Yeah. Well, let me just make a quick note here before we move to the next caller. You know, we do need a leadership. We have a lot of positions of leadership at National Liberty Alliance. The most important leadership is on your own, you know, in your own county, on your own grassroots, working things together. But we broke the United States up into 10 districts, and each one of those districts has so many states. And we need state leadership. We need people working in the states, working with the district leaders with the sole purpose of growing the grassroots and bringing the education that the National Liberty Alliance is bringing. So, but, yeah, I'm doing this at a call to all the people to step up. Anybody listening here, step up and take these positions if you have the time to do that. But definitely get involved in your grassroots level. And even those involved on the state level, they need to be heavily involved in their own county level. But go ahead, finish up. We got one other caller, and it's past midnight, Robert.
Well, I just want to say the other point that I forgot about would be the Electoral College and the property owner. I firmly believe we need to get back to the fact that the only ones that can vote for president and vice president, and this is a check that was put in by the framers.
Yeah, we did a paper on that, too, and it is, you know, all these papers that I'm talking about are in the book, but we are trying to create PowerPoint videos on all of these different subjects, putting them up on YouTube or I think I'm going to look into Rumble and try to get onto Rumble, too. But at some point, it's all going to shut down for a while, I think, and then it'll hopefully spring back up or we'll reconstruct something somewhere else. But all these people, all those people are going to jail. All of them. They're going to jail. They've subverted our nation. They've destroyed. They are pushing the narrative of subversion, of you know, supporting the tyrants. So.
That's correct. Yeah. And we got to make these sheriffs accountable also.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And there are some bad ones, but most of them are just ignorant. We just have to educate them.
Well, yeah, but they've been beat down so bad, you know, you got to build them up a little bit before you bring them back out. So
build them up with knowledge, and that'll give them a backbone and power and authority to do what they got to do. Absolutely.
Okay, that's the
end. All right, Robert.
So
thanks, Robert.
I'll get a hold of you guys tomorrow or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, sometime during the week. Let's connect and talk.
All right.
Okay.
No problem.
Thanks, Robert.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the last one is Cody.
And before Cody goes, just a note. Anybody, hang on a minute. Anybody that is interested in taking these positions, get a hold of Jan@NationalLibertyAlliance.org. Make sure you put your phone number in. Let them know you're interested in working on a national level to help organize, whether it's with the 10 districts or the states. Let's get going on this.
Okay.
Go ahead, Cody.
Just real quick, if you guys are interested in a lodial title, type in YouTube Land Patents Ron Gibson. And he's interviewed almost every week on Friday, I think, on Northwest Liberty News. But there's a couple videos on there, too, where he gives classes. And it may just be easier to listen to his interview, but you can listen to his whole class there online. He has a book he sells. Apparently, he's won cases. There are federal court cases that say, yes, if you've got your... But basically, they're playing games, you know, because most of the land was given with land patents in the old days, and it says in perpetuity, but they played this game when they made the warranty deeds. And so the way the federal court's protecting themselves is they're saying that you have to go bring that forward. They won't... Until you bring that forward, I think you can't have any loans or anything on the property before you can do it. But then apparently it'll be honored according to what he teaches. So that's a good little reference.
Well, again, once we get to the other side, you know, ultimately all people who own land have titles to land. We need to change that the wording and things around and move them into an allodial title. Robert, maybe you should go and listen to this guy. Can you repeat the name on YouTube?
Yeah, Ron Gibson, just like it sounds, G-I-B-S-O-N. Type in land patent, Ron Gibson, or maybe Ron Gibson, land patent is better. And he's got a lot of Northwest Liberty News interviews where he talks about the subject, but he also, you'll also see where he's given some classes there, some excerpts from his classes. He's kind of a big, rotund guy. If you, you'll notice him there, Ron Gibson.
Hey, and, Gerard, if you get a chance, I know you were looking into this with, goodness, what's his name up your way? I'm trying to think of his name.
Oh, Ryan?
Yeah, Ryan. How's he doing? Yeah. He's not in jail or anything, is he?
No, he's doing good.
Is he?
He's moving to Pennsylvania this week.
Really?
Yeah.
He moves everywhere. Did he lose his house?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Wow.
They stole it.
All right, anyway, if you get a chance, well, maybe you can go listen to this guy on YouTube also. And Robert, you definitely should go listen and give us your thoughts, and we'll talk some more about it.
This year is the best example of why, you know, we shouldn't have property taxes. They can ruin the economy.
Well, not only that. If you have to pay a tax and you can't afford that tax, and they take that property away from you because of tax, you don't own that property, do you?
No, you're renting from the government.
Exactly.
And they keep raising your rent.
They call the owner a tenant.
Well, think about this. In the old days, the federal government ran off of import export duties. So at least then the government was motivated, to have business going on. It's just, but hey, what I wanted to mention on the vaccines, the gal, if she's still listening, is kind of worried. There's a good interview on InfoWars last week with Dr. Francis Boyle. He was the one that authored one of the international bioterrorism, bioweapons, laws or whatever. But he talks about how this vaccine violates the Nuremberg ruling on, medical testing, and, it's pretty scary the way he's talking on it. And then a few days after he was interviewed, if you go to band.video, that's the easiest place to search these. That's the InfoWars video archive. There's a gal, there was a gal that was interviewed that was found dead, said she would never kill herself, and supposedly was found committed suicide. Let me see if I can find her name.
You had a little boy that was damaged.
I think so, or else she worked for, I think, Merck or something.
Yeah,
and
she worked for Merck, yeah. I just saw it the other day. We might have that up on Video Sanctuary. I don't remember, but
I'm trying to see that. I'm not seeing it, but if you type in whistleblower nurses vaccines, that may not be the right one. But if you, like, Michelle Rowton, I'm not sure if that's the right one, but that's, I think, what I've got up, Rowton. But pretty scary, that doctor, what's her name, Medej or whatever, she says it doesn't make, the only justification of eating 70 or 80 below zero vaccine is because it's got little, microbots of some sort in it. It's pretty scary. She said the average vaccine is just a little bit below zero, 10 or 20, 10 or minus 10 or 20 at the most, something like that, I think she said, and so it just doesn't make any sense. They need this so-called.
I heard on the news today that they were freeze-drying it, and that was able to preserve it to give a long shelf life. And then I don't know what they do when they get it to inject it.
There's different.
Sounds like freeze-dried coffee,
Well, is it the Pfizer one? That's the one that supposedly got the mRNA style, vaccine. I think that's the one that has to be so cold. I think there's something to do where there's some, very fine, maybe aluminum or something in it that, it's acting like a, what's the word I'm looking for? These little micro bots or whatever. Nanotechnology. Yeah. I mean,
right.
That's the only thing that makes sense. She said, this is the doctor saying, she says the only two reasons to have something that cold is if it's explosive, which obviously a vaccine is not, or you know, it's got something that is so reactive in it that it has to be that cold, you know. So think about this. It's got, you know, some kind of a reactive nanotech in it that has to be that cold to neutralize it. I mean, you know, that, you know, like you're neutralizing
a machine. If the vaccine is freeze-dried, I'd wonder that if nanobots would survive in that kind of an environment, and maybe that's why, and again, you know, it's either that or they have to send it out, like you say, with a controlled temperature, which is, I don't know how many degrees below zero or whatever, but, you know, I'm wondering, because I know the one, again, I heard this on the news, and I don't trust the news, of course, you know, I listen to radio and the music, and then you get their stupid news, and they just don't stop with all the garbage and the narratives.
Well, you...
Yeah.
You guys remember where I think it was Kenya had found, I believe it was a Gates Foundation.
Oh, you mean where Obama was born, Kenya?
Well, yeah, one of those places, but they had found that the vaccine had, oh, one of these hormones or something that actually prevents pregnancy long term. You know, it was not, I guess, a hormone. It was a some kind of an antibody that stays in the system and keeps women from being able to get pregnant. That was proven that was in vaccines. Yeah.
Proven
to be in there.
Africa with it. They've been, Bill Gates has been.
Yeah, that man,
Africa
he should have.
As his personal lab. They kicked him out. He can't go back there anymore.
Yeah, they should put him at the end of a short rope. So.
Well, in India, the same thing. You know, it's been purged from the internet, but the Supreme Court of India, I'm not sure exactly what they charged him with, but it was something to the fact that he wasn't getting, it wasn't proper consent, you know, of how dangerous people were getting damaged by the vaccine that he was giving away there, and he didn't get proper, you know, or whatever kind of consent that, you know, and that was a Supreme Court of India ruling that, so.
Okay, we got to wind down because it's 20 after, and I see one of the callers in the box, which will be the last caller, I think.
Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
Yeah.
All right, appreciate the call, Cody. Good conversation. Thanks.
Okay.
Last call. A couple of minutes. I want to go.
Somebody from Oregon. Sanford. Go ahead. Go. You are unmuted. Hello.
I think that might be me. This is Cynthia over in Portland.
Okay.
How you doing, Cynthia?
I'm doing really good. I was listening to a bit of your conversation there, and it brought to mind a video, a short video me and my friend watched this weekend. Talking about how the symptoms of COVID are the same symptoms of 5G radiation, and putting forth a call for people to bring. They have a list of corporations. I do believe Mr. Gates may have been on that list, just to bring them into the court and to do whatever we can to stop what they're doing.
Yeah, are you familiar with that, Gerard?
Yep.
I attempted to share the video and found for the first time that I'm now limited on how many people I can share my information with.
Yeah, they started that. They started that recently.
Yeah, this is communism at its best.
Yeah, those guys, they all got to go. That's subversion and treason with these media.
I can't wait for the arrest of all these people in the media. And, you know, the person I really can't wait for is Cuomo. I can't wait to see him in handcuffs.
Yeah, Bill. It was Bill and Melinda Gates are on that list. They have a whole. I wrote down a lot of the names.
Yeah. Fauci and all the other ones, and what's his name? The black guy there, the head of the WHO, something tutu. He was a murdering, rotten thing, and he ruined his nation. And what do? They make him the head of the World Health Organization. Hmm. They do everything the opposite.
I wanted to share that video with someone in the NLA, but I wasn't sure how to. So.
Well, you can get the video out to Gerard or to Jan, and if they get it to me, they think we should post it, we'll post it.
Well, what do you have?
You know, a lot of our videos are set there.
You have a URL? What's it on? What platform is it on?
Yeah, is it on YouTube or Rumble or what?
I received it via Facebook Messenger. And I believe it may be a YouTube video. what I ended up doing is I made a recording of it, because it's just a lady, you know, giving a speech. And I have that recording. I was hoping
to
share
it somehow. It's a good, clear MP3?
I believe so. I haven't listened to it yet. I just recorded it while I was running the video.
If you get us the video, and we can get the video, we can strip the video, we can strip the audio out of the video, which would be nice and clear. As clear as the video is, that's how clear the audio will be. And, okay. And then we can post that directly up on our website for people to listen or download. Videos, in order for us to post videos up, we have to post them on Facebook, on YouTube, or, you know, I'm going to go learn a little bit about Rumble. Everybody's talking about that, so a lot of people have moved over to that, so I got to look into Rumble. But, you know, we just, you know, take the page, you know, the URL, and then post it in our page, and the video shows up. And they're already removing lots of videos. I can't believe how many videos I'm seeing just today. I know last week I didn't notice this much, but a lot of videos have been removed, and we no longer have them on our website now. We just have the old URL that led us there, but the videos are not available. And, you know, some of the videos, that one video from China, that was from Valuetainment, which, hey, if you want, this guy's the greatest interviewer I've seen anywhere ever. This guy really knows how to interview people, and he's a ferocious reader, so he reads the books of these people that he interviews, and he really gives a good interview, so you can get a good understanding of the subject matter of whatever's being portrayed on his programming. So it's Valuetainment. He's on YouTube, and I know he's got a website. I got to get out to his website, because his YouTube may be going down.
Yeah, I believe the World Wide Web, I'm not 100%, is located at CERN. So.
Mm. All right, well, look, it's 12:25 coming up on it, so I think it's time to go to bed.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know if you want to take Jay real quick. Jay, if you want to make it quick.
Go ahead, Jay. You're open.
Thanks for the call, by the way. Okay.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, in Messenger, she said they limit the people she can give it to.
Yep.
They got up that like down to like 6 or 10 or something like that.
Yes,
but
like 6.
If you back out and go back to the video and hit reshare, everybody pops up again and then send it.
Yeah, it's another step you got to do. I noticed that. You got to keep going back to the video. So in other words, you can't give it to 50 or 100 people. You have to stop, do 6, go back, do 6 more.
Right.
You know, whatever.
Right, but you can keep
welcome
doing
to communism.
Go through your whole list. But
that's their mark. That's the communist mark. One step backwards, 2 steps forward. Go back and get the video, 2 steps forward.
I used to be able to just go down my list and send it to everybody. You know,
Oh, you're being harassing.
All right, that's all I had.
Okay.
Hi, Jay, thanks.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody.
John.
With that.
John.
Yeah.
Go see your Skype. I put that executive order in there.
Great.
It.
Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate
thank
that.
You.
Yeah,
and
you're
going to
really like it, John. Really.
I'll take a look at it.
We might want to do it on one of the Monday night shows. Just go through it real quick, just to educate people.
Okay. All right. Godspeed, everybody. Good night.
Yeah. Send it to me too. Bye.